It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Welcome to another special edition of Declare Your Independence with me, Ernest Hancock, another declaring your independence individual, Danny Sessom. Now, I want to make sure that you know who Danny is, and a lot of you that's listening to the show or in the Liberty community, you already know. He's founder and co-host of the Crypto Show. Danny Sessom is a Central Texas entrepreneur that not only accepts Bitcoin for services, but actively encourages other businesses to do so as well. And I know he does a lot of construction, roofing, you know, building, and do your house for a discount. You pay me Bitcoin, you know. That's a crypto. That's how it started. And he did well. And then he started had an RV traveling around the world. You know, the Western Hemisphere, certainly Latin America, Mexico, United States, of course, with a Dash RV, the promotion of the Crypto Dash. And he did that for years. And, co-host, creative director, that mixes various pro-liberty topics with the ideas of decentralized technology. So you can tell we're already new best friends, old best friends. Yeah, we've been doing this a while. The CryptoShow.com. He's always a featured individual at a lot of liberty events. And, of course, he braves Mexico highway bandits of shiny badge of pay me off going down to Anarcapoco all the time. And that has been, he's a braver man than I, because he's always got a story. And we may get into some of those stories because this is how it works. So what we want to do, we're at the Porcupine Freedom Festival for this week, followed by Fork Fest, which is kind of a, you know, I don't know, it's probably in about its fifth year. And it just kind of, we're just going to stay and go camping and not have to worry about all the details of whatever. And it's becoming its own thing. So we'll see what happens. You know, what's the driving forces behind that were some friends, Stephen and Derek J, that they're not, I just found out they're not coming this week. You know, they're not coming to the event. They're in the Mediterranean right now. I talked to Stephen last night. And I said, hey, I'm here. You know, what help you need? He goes, we're not coming. The FBI were on their ass for them doing any pay, which was Portsmouth, New Hampshire. They really been promoting the use of crypto and had, you know, like a crypto tour. If you can go bar hopping and retailing and doing whatever, a lot of people were taking cryptocurrencies. And they made a any pay was an interface for the business owner to have easy way of collecting any crypto and it going into their one, boom, and they're done. So they were a big threat, and they had an FBI station there that just constantly were bugging them over the last few months since they did the arrest of the Crypto Six out of Keene. Well, the network LRN.FM and Free Talk Live, Ian Freeman, five other people were arrested for their promotion of it, and they had ATMs around the state and legal, not, doesn't matter to them. They were not supporting the narrative of whatever the hell it is that they, them, those want. And so when they did that, they weren't really part of that, but the FBI kept coming around and wanting to talk to them. They just closed the door on them and we're not talking and go away. And they're following them, you know, in their little, sedan on the sidewalk. And hey, no, we just want to talk. And they wouldn't talk to them. So they were making pressure. They want to explain it to them to the point that they go, you know, we can be free somewhere else. And they're traveling the world. They're, you know, getting different passport. They're doing their, I don't want to give out too many details. That's up for them. But they're like, no, it be a coming America. Yeah. And that's kind of what we're going to be talking about with Danny today, because he's, you know, some of the, I don't know, you're not a kid. I don't know if I call you an old guard in the Liberty Movement, but you've been around a while. And yeah. Interesting things, you did the crypto show out of Defense Distributed, which right. is in Austin, Texas, where Cody Wilson's, yeah. you know, gun maker thing, you know, what the hell, I got two
yeah,
of them.
The Ghost Gunner.
Ghost Gunner. Right? Yeah, I got them, I had them since the beginning of the first edition, I can't remember what it was.
Yeah, but we started in Brave New Books and then moved to Defense Distributed.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right. Brave New Books was a bookstore near the University of Texas there or something, right. or Texas A&M or wherever.
Right across the street from UT on, you know, the main drag, which is Guadalupe. So,
which is like University of Texas, right?
Yeah, so you got a lot of traffic from the local college coming in there. And the store, of course, was just full of anarchist books and libertarian books. So you'd see them come in there and their eyes would get, you know, kind of glaze over, or some of them got interested in it. But I thought it was pretty important that it was so close to the college, like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but the man didn't like that, especially since you guys were like in the basement underneath a bank.
Yeah, yeah. So, so our radio studio was directly beneath the vault of the Chase Bank, and on the wall behind us, where you know we had our radio show, was a bunch of miners. So whenever we would go live, we'd have to turn the miners off because, of course, they make too much noise. So we were undermining the bank.
Mining
under the bank. So.
Oh my God! You.
That was the tagline.
Yeah, I'm like, how many times have you said that? That's
well,
awesome.
Yeah, on the you know the opening tagline for the show was, you know, we're undermining the bank and the man and having some fun while we do it. And we tried to keep it fun.
You know, that's you. What the heck is that? Oh, that's your phone. I'll let you go ahead and do that.
There we go.
Yeah, we'll turn. Yeah, I can turn mine off too, because you know, God knows. The Brave New Books was eventually purchased by John and Kat Bush.
Yeah,
and we just came from not too long ago, a few weeks ago. We were at the Greater Reset south of Austin in Buda, Texas. Buda, B-U-D-A, yeah. But they call it Buda. Beautiful Texas. So Buda, Texas is just south of, I don't know, 40 minutes, not even that, half hour, south of Austin, yeah. where a lot of this stuff has been coming out of. And Austin is, like you say, you have the university there, and it's kind of the college town, and it's definitely the liberal part, you know, progressive part
yeah.
of Texas.
It's the blue dot in a sea of red.
Right.
Sure.
And so the libertarians are, I guess, tolerated by all sides or equally miffed or something. I mean, you know, and it's a good spot for us to reach out to these people that when you go to Texas, nobody's wearing a mask unless you're in Austin.
Right.
In Austin, they want to, they're Zig Heil to the blue man. I yeah. mean, you know, they're the blue man crew.
I wore my mask all the time, too. Of course, it was the Zorro mask. I just covered my eyes. The important, I didn't want anybody to, you know, I didn't want any of that COVID to get into my eyes.
So this has been an interesting trek for you. Now, what we're going to do is Porkfest hasn't really started yet. When does it start? Is it today, tomorrow, Monday?
A couple of days, I guess, on the 21st.
Which is
2 days from now?
Yeah, so it, yeah. So it doesn't really start yet, but a lot of people are here already. And a lot of the older crowd, you know, we get ready and just having fun. I'm starting to see a lot of friends and such. And, of course, I see Danny and, you know, Taryn Lupo's here, Derek Slopey just got here with his family. You know, I'm sure Jay will be pulling in, you know, freaking any minute. And it's Porcupine Freedom Festival has always been kind of a touchstone, like the salmon make it here. But the Forkfest is a good direct competition. I mean, sure, it's like an augmentation. A lot of people see it as competition. I don't really see it as that. It's just a, you know, much more laid back, not organized, no permission slip. There isn't a plan, you know, yeah. for it. Porkfest and Porcupine Freedom Festival has kind of gotten a little bit more decentralized because last year they didn't really have a choice. They had barely even opened the campground. And when they did, you know, we just kind of take care of ourselves. And it was awesome because the real power of these gatherings are in the campground, not on the stage, you know, the pavilion or the planned events, right, which is cool to go to, and you got some cool people you want to hear talk, and there's favorites and so on. And, you know, I participated in a lot of it before and such, but it's in the campground where the real action is, where the real plans are, where the things are really happening. And fortunately, they're starting to go back into the campground to have, and they're doing something different this year. They call them hubs, and it's just, you know, they have not really on a schedule, but they're listed to where people are out doing their own thing. Are you got anything planned what you're doing?
Hopefully I'll run into some cool people and get some interviews and throw them up on the Crypto Show and the travel channel that we're doing, NRV Adventure. That sounds, you know, slightly like anarchy, but it's NRV, A-N-R-V, Adventure. So you don't want to scare off the, you don't want to scare off the normies, but I want to, you know, get, you know, go around and travel and talk about what the fuck are you doing wearing a mask for, you know, or... Oh, can I cuss on here?
No, it'll go on LR, you know, freak. But we,
oh,
I,
okay.
I slapped the back of his hand. I did know I was supposed to do it. That's a that's a trash can word.
Assault. Assault.
You're not supposed to do that. You assaulted my ears, the audience, whatever. The so with that kind of build up, you know, give your history. You know, when you started in the Liberty movement and why, and then it eventually, you know, came into, you know, the Crypto Show and then the Dash Run, and you're helping people in the earthquake zone of hurricane of I mean, you know, Danny's done a lot of stuff that we've been supportive of and helped and even sponsored or, you know, promoted and what the hell we can do, because you're always doing interesting stuff. So let's go back to the beginning and your first memory at 3 years old, and go ahead and tell us everything.
Well, at 3 years old, and since you want to go there,
I do that is because there's a reason why you are the way you are.
I lived in Palm Springs, well, actually Indio, California. My parents had moved out there, and I guess I ventured off from what they lived in a trailer park at the time, and I ventured off from the trailer park on my tricycle, and the popo brought me home. So that was my first encounter with the popo, thinking, I'm like, hey, I know what I'm doing. Just leave me alone. I know how to get back home. But no, they brought me home.
How far away from home were you?
I was just, you know, I ventured outside of the park, and I was in the, you know, in the desert right behind the park. So, you know, I just slipped between the bushes and went out there, and they brought me back home. So that was, early on, I wasn't really fans of them.
Really? So that had an impact on, hey, how old were you?
Yeah, three. You started with three, so... Yeah.
You know, I asked a question. All right. So, and what about your parents, grandparents, you know, influential coach, employer, friend, uncle, grandma, something? I mean, what made you the way you are?
My dad is very helpful. He's always trying to help people constantly. So I get that from him. But unfortunately, he believes in the whole liberal side of things. And I don't understand how he can be so hardworking and, you know, give a shit about people so much. And still be liberal. Like, his whole mindset is Trump bad, and he watches too much TV, so he sits at home and thinks that. But
when you say liberal, how's that defined? What do you mean?
Trump bad, and, you know, the Democrat Party good.
Well, this is not 30 years ago,
right?
I mean, you know, when you're, you know, okay, let's say you're 3 and a half, okay,
right,
and your parents, the philosophy that you brought up under was what?
Well, then, there was no political, no, we didn't have any political ideology. I think the first time I really got interested in politics would have been seeing Ross Perot. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really interesting. And your stories about Ross Perot were really interesting to me,
got in the middle. I wasn't a Ross Perot supporter. But what happened in Arizona, I had my lawsuits in federal court on election law in Arizona.
Right.
And I understood what was going to happen, because I knew that in the late 70s, when they redid the election law, they accidentally on purpose and made it to where there was no mechanism for an independent presidential candidate to get electors on the ballot in Arizona. So I knew, with Arizona was the 50th state that had their primary back in, you know, the second half of September. Mm-hmm. It was only like 7-8 weeks or something before the general election. So Arizona is going to be the 50th state, and there was no mechanism for Perot to get on the ballot. And I'm going, oh, let me tell you what's going to happen with this one. I can see where this is going. So when I did presentations, it was a prelude to the Ron Paul thing to see what could happen just from the people. Yeah. There were calls to a meeting of whatever, and this is before the internet. This is 92, and you have 700-800 people show up at a hotel. It was amazing every week. Yeah. I mean, it was phenomenal. And I'm going, look, I didn't care. You know, I had a lot of people that knew, and Pro Systems and computers and guys I knew at church that were part of, worked with. Yada. So I had kind of an inside guy of what was going on.
He ran a trucking company that delivered computer parts and stuff.
Who did?
Perot.
That was. Oh, I didn't know that. Yeah. No, he had, Perot Systems was setting up the databases for making the Social Security system. He had some big government software. You know, he might as well have been Bezos. I mean, you know, he's one of them. And he was just pissed off at Daddy Bush because he didn't go save his people in Iran. And then, you know, he did it himself.
That's
and
a pretty amazing book, story.
He's definitely, you know, I got money and we'll go make it happen guy. And it was a philosophy of, you know, they should do it my way. He wasn't, certainly not a libertarian. Right. And by then, you know, I was pretty, you know, libertarian. And, but what I did understand is that whether I'd, you know, fall on the sword to give myself a chance to not be able to vote for him, you know, because I just want the chance to not vote for him. The system itself was skewed. So when I gave presentations to a lot of the Perot supporters, it wasn't for Perot. It was for their opportunity to even have him as a selection, because that was always my thing, was election fraud, you know, and how it was skewed. So my story with Perot is not so much a Perot thing. It was a political thing. Mm. You know, it was actually dealing in the laws of the politics. And that's what got me going, and that's how, you know, people knew me from there. So it kind of gave me some credibility. I'm not here to, I don't give a crap about, you know, him. It's a chance to even select him.
I was just glad to see somebody that was outside of the system, and that was obviously attractive to me, just to see it. He's not one of them, so.
Well, he's a different version of him. But, you know, that was what the perception was. So then when, you know, we had a lot of local stuff in Arizona, we were doing it kind of along the same lines. Then we had the Ron Paul Lovolution, and that was another, not just he's not them, because he was a congressman, you know. It was that he represented the philosophy that they were looking for and support, and wanted to just support that.
Right.
And our goal was, how long can we keep him up on the podium? So there was that, and then 12, and then here comes the Trump thing, and that was definitely, he's not them, you know.
Right.
He still got, as much as he cannot be them as a billionaire inside the system of, you know, I got Hillary and, you know, Bill Clinton going to my wedding. I mean, you know what I mean? How not them can you be? So it was, it's all this perception of not them. So when you got a perception of not them in the Perot years, how involved and how old were you then? What did you do?
Just voted for him, and that was it. I wasn't really into it deep until Ron Paul, and when I started hearing about the Fed and the whole leave me aloneism, as you know, not policing the world, that was really attractive to me. So I got involved in that, became a state delegate, you know, county delegate, state delegate.
What state?
Texas. Oh. And then went on, you know, to Florida
for, well, that was 12,
right? In 2012. And not long after that, I went down to Chile in 2013 and kind of rediscovered Bitcoin. I'd seen it in 2012 during the Paul Fest. The BitPay guys were there. They had a little booth, and I think it was $30 then. And I was like, get out of here. This is a scam. And then, you know, not 8 months later or whatever, I'm in Chile, and some kid's buying land with Bitcoin. It's $216. I'm like, okay, now I got to look into this. And then it was just, I went full Bitcoin retard after that and never looked back.
How?
Just because realizing, getting that
first
transaction.
No, not why. I want to know how. When you go retard, I mean, it was, you
I was
started
like,
mining. You started studying. You watched every YouTube.
Mining.
I mean, what?
Yeah, looking into all the, just looking into what it was. I was going every time I went into a store. I would say, "Hey, do you take Bitcoin?" Not that I'm going to get them to do it, but just so I'm planting the seed.
Planting
the seed. And eventually, I did. I got a little grocery store to take it. So I would go get all my beer and fajita meat from this little Mexican market out in Leander, you know, outside of Austin, to do it. And then I bought a six-pack. It was the first six-pack of beer paid for with Bitcoin in Texas. So I somehow ended up on the Most Interesting Man in the World Reddit page.
And
like, went to the front of the page or whatever and got a bunch of views and stuff like that.
When did the crypto show start? Why?
They started planning it in 2013 as we were planning the first Texas Bitcoin conference. And Harlan, who owned the bookstore, came to one of the Bitcoin meetups and said, "Hey, let's start a show about Bitcoin."
You mean Paul Snow's thing?
Yeah, Paul Snow's meetups.
Which the first Bitcoin
in Austin at the racetrack.
Okay, yeah, Circuit of the Americas.
That's the first time I met you, actually.
Yeah, so. Circuit of the Americas. Mm-hmm. That was a thing.
Yeah.
You know, and it was kind of, what year was that?
It was March 2014.
So it was, with Paul Snow, he was in Berlin, I think, right before mm-hmm. that. And he had to pay $1,000 to reroute his flight and all kinds of whatever to go to a Freedom Summit that we had that year. And we had let's see, Cody Wilson, I think that might have been the same year we had Patrick Byrne and Paul Rosenberg and a lot of great speakers, but they were doing Dark Wallet, and this is all decentralized, using crypto against the man of whatever Cody thing.
Yeah.
So, of course, you know, Paul had to be there to, you know, express his opinion to me and so on, and then, of course, we went to the Bitcoin conference at the Circuit of the Americas near Austin there, which is a really cool racetrack. And so they just used the facilities there, and it was a thing. And that's where I saw how they did the hacker thing.
The hackathon.
The hackathons, they'll do a couple of day of, you know, Skittles, coffee, and jolts or whatever with all these kids, and they team up and they do. And what they do is they'll come up with some great software. You win!
Now it's
ours!
The winner was an Israeli group called Zusk or something like that.
And I remember that.
It was a decentralized ride app that you would just turn on your phone, and while you're driving around, you're mining coins while you drive, and then you would spend these tokens for ride sharing. So it was interesting. It was a great idea. All the maps and everything worked, but it never did lift off. So.
Well, there was competition. I thought the idea was awesome. And, in fact, when I talk, I remember what happened. The kid did this, and he was from Israel, but he was living in New York City and at the time. And he went to Israel, and he won some hacker thing there, you know, some event. And then his friends in New York bought him a ticket and said, "You're going." You know, they drug his ass to Austin, and then he wins that, too, because they knew, you know, it would do well. And what it was, later it became, they did it here in New Hampshire, and then Texas was that other one. What was the ride sharing?
Arcade City.
Arcade City.
Which they actually have an app now. They finally got to somewhere where I think it's actually going to work, and they're kicking it out. So it never died in Austin. It went on to Facebook, and the app never actually became anything, but now they actually do have the app, so their drivers are fixing
it. So you can start doing it now?
Yeah, in Austin.
Oh, man, the man is definitely going to target. They did not want this to happen.
So
which is why it was great.
During the shutdown for Uber and Lyft in Austin, they came in and they basically saved the day. All of the other, like, government-supported ride shares, I think it was like Ride Austin and all these other little co-ops that were, you know, being funded by the city of Austin, they were not very effective. Their apps didn't work well, so it was really hard to get a ride. But with Arcade City, they did it on Facebook. They just made a Facebook group, and you know, within a week or so, there was almost 30,000 members on there.
Damn.
And I know it's over 40 now. So you just go on Facebook and say, hey, I need a ride. I'm over here. And you would have drivers go, I can go. I'll go. And then they would just bid on it. Okay, I'll do it for the X. I'll do it for this. I'll do it for that. And you could pick which driver. Either maybe you thought the driver was creepy and you didn't want to ride with
him. Yeah, see, they start going down this road, and then it's like, oh, you got to be an employee, paid your taxes of Social Security, of the man's got to, you know, and it's always a thing.
Yeah.
And what was different about Arcade City is it was its own ecosystem that had its own payment system that used its crypto that was bypassed everything. I'm kind of surprised they did the Facebook thing. But this, it worked. And what this... Lazoo's, that's what it was.
Oh, Lazoo's was the other one, yeah.
Yeah, Lazoo's, what they did is kind of the same thing, but once they won the contest, well, then it's venture capital of here's some money and you won and now and sign here and we'll give you a little bit and we'll go be rich. And that's what I started to realize what these hackathons were. They were interviews. You know, they'd create a company. They just wanted the code.
Right.
You know, how can we get it from this, you know, 22-year-old kid and it'd be ours now? I mean, you know.
Yeah.
So this is, I could see these hackathons were just recruitment tools to get all these great coders and ideas. So I'm going, I'm seeing how this is working. Now, I would, you know, do a presentation.
I think, like, right now, one of the best hackathons that I've been to is YO Hackathon in Wyoming, where they're trying to get crypto laws instituted and everything. Well, there's a lot of different businesses will come and get involved with the hackathon, and they'll, you know, okay, this is our problem. This is what we want solved. So you'll have, you know, 10 different donors or whatever who are going to put up something, and they'll say, okay, this is what we want done. We have this problem with our business, where one of them was the beef industry. How can we track our beef? We need a blockchain solution. Just one of them was travel, like state travel through Wyoming. And just each one of them had a different problem. They would put the solution up, and just teams of kids, which was really interesting because it was like local kids from high school and elementary school would actually show up, didn't know anything about blockchain, just, you know, they were a little bit computer savvy, and then they would go to town on it. And by the time they left the conference, not only did they get experience in hackathon and figuring out how to solve a problem for somebody, but they also learned about blockchain. So it was really interesting. And this past one,
when is it?
It's in September every year in Laramie, Wyoming, at the University of Wyoming. So it's a really, really good one. So last September we had COVID, so it was very limited. It was just a bunch of speakers that showed up and like no attendees. I wormed my way into that one and got to go, and it was pretty interesting. I met a guy who was a teacher for one of the local Indian schools, and he was teaching kids blockchain, and he was using Cardano. All these kids are getting together and they're running nodes on Cardano, and they're actually making money and stuff at school.
Yeah, Cardano is a relatively new thing. Mm-hmm. I've been hearing about. They're going to be using that a lot for these NFTs and so on, right?
Yeah.
You know, and it's got its own. There's so many things, and my focus has not been as technical or have some, you know, dog in the fight on.
Right.
I want that. I don't care. I'm looking at the end result. You know what?
Yeah.
What does it provide for me? I need this. You know, like a lot of people now are, you know, promoting. Mm-hmm. Privacy coins like, you know, Horizon and Monero and R, you know, the pirate chain and all these kinds. These are the things that...
Monero.
Okay. All right. Danny's got to tell you about Monero. You know, it's like, you know, crap coin, you know?
Yeah. So I went to...
Manure.
Anarchapulco. I mean, over the years, Monero guys are, some of them, not all of them are, tend to be kind of like Bitcoin maximalists. They're like, there can only be Monero. There's no other privacy coin. We're the best. Mm-hmm. And they just have this attitude about themselves. So I was just joking around with some guys on the beach. I'm like, you mean Monero, huh? That's that shit coin, whatever. And then the next thing I know...
They shoot you. You're waking up on the sand.
I have a birthday party, and I just spin up a token on Aspire, which is this centralized platform, It takes like 5 minutes to make a token. So I make up these tokens. I call them Monuro, and I'm passing them around to everybody that I want to come to my party. And you've got to pay me back the coin when you get there. So I'm just like, wow, you made your own crypto. Like, yeah, it's fucking easy on Aspire. But at the party, everybody was having fun with it, and I seen where it was going. I'm like, okay, let's do it. So now we're going to launch a privacy shitcoin. You can say shitcoin, right? Because it is a shitcoin.
Whatever.
Anyway, we're going to put it on Komodo, and that's where R is. R, you know, Pirate Chain is an asset chain on Komodo. So we're going to have the same thing, the ZK Snarks, but we're also going to have proof of stake, and we also want to save part of the coin distribution to give to people for memeing. Once we pay people for the meme, I guess we own the meme, I want to turn those memes into NFTs and sell them and just donate the money to charities.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
I know a lot of talent people. Dobby be all over that, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
You want some memes? I'll give you some memes.
Yeah.
You know, this is, that's cool. You know, that you could do that. Well, is it just I made a crypto, or is it got, you know, features that can really be incorporated to make it useful? Well, I mean, what are you
so it, I'm wanting to go 30% proof of stake, 30% proof of work, and then 30% to pay for these memes. That leaves 10%, and I want to just kind of follow Dash's lead with 10% treasury to incentivize people to expand the network, whether it's, you know, development or whatever.
Yeah, tell us your experience with Dash. You did that for years. You're a big fan
Dash,
of that.
I love Dash, but I'm not a fan of is their Dash Core group, which is the corporate arm. But they're nothing more than a proposal holder. I think if someone else could gain the popularity of Dash Core Group and start their own faction, they could do it too. But I think, it's my opinion, I don't have proof of this, I think that the Dash Core Group has acquired so many masternodes that they can't be voted out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they're taking, I guess, from what I hear, about 60% of the treasury. And they're not really completing anything.
Well, what is it when you say the treasury? Is there like 10% transaction fees that go into a pool
every,
or something?
What is it every 2 minutes? Or I don't even know what the block time is on Dash. I've forgotten already. But you know, every time there's block rewards, 10% of the block reward at the end of the month goes to fund the treasury. And that would be Dash Core Group or any kind of development or any proposal that anyone that's in the community wants to put up 5 Dash and put their proposal forward, they can do. So, and my proposals were sponsored our radio show, and at the same time, I would get extra money and go around and do, you know, the hurricane stuff, building houses in Mexico, traveling around to dispensaries and talking to dispensaries.
Yeah, no, you were always doing something. You were promoting. Yeah. If it wasn't for, you know, Danny and Crypto Show promoting Dash, I don't know if anybody would even know about it.
Right. Yeah. So I really loved that idea of how the masternodes were able to vote on what would get done in the community. It just... Now I just don't. I kind of lost faith in that. You know, Dash Core Group has too much control. I would be all over it. I don't think I want to be sponsored by them again, but I would definitely promote them if Dash Core Group was gotten rid of.
Well, and replaced with what?
Anything. Just replaced with somebody that didn't have as much power. I mean, like I said,
so it's too much centralization of power.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, they're
nodes of whatever.
Yeah, I think they've centralized.
Well, the way these things get set up, a lot of times it's inevitable. A lot of times it's set up to do that.
Yeah,
you know, that's why you have I can start to see the big complaint when a new coin comes up about all the pre-mining.
Yeah,
you know, even you're setting. I'm going to set a bunch over here, like a million of them, as a pre-mine of,
right,
you know, it's mine. And then they go, yeah, well, that's not, well, it's I get to do what I want to do. You don't want to do it, don't do it.
I mean, Satoshi mined the first 1,000,000 coins or had a wallet with 1,000,000 coins in it, and that's kind of where I'm going with it. I'm following a lot along Bitcoin lines with this. So the coin supply is 20,999,999, you know, one less than Bitcoin. So it's more scarce than Bitcoin. The whole thing, you know.
I was like, yeah, what the hell
have,
is that about?
We have SHA 257, so we're one better than the SHA 256.
Is there really a SHA 257?
No, it's a joke. But and then we have toilet bowl ring signatures, so we're more secure than Monero. But in reality, it's just ZK Snarks that you know that's offered through Komodo. So
you know, there's a lot. I don't want to get off on this, but I got to bring this up. You know, when you have a lot of these coins that you know just come out and they were fun, and I remember when Dogecoin started, that was a big joke to everybody. You know, then all of a sudden, it's like, you know,
oh, we're better than Doge too because we're meme miners.
You actually
get paid for making the memes, which that doesn't happen with Doge. So,
well, tell me the story from your perspective of Doge. I remember. It was just like, you know, just it's like you're doing your first token shitcoin of whatever.
Yeah, 2013, the first time I'd heard of it was, I think, Michael Goldstein, one of the guys that, you know, was part of the Satoshi Nakamoto Institute. He was a writer alongside Daniel Krawitz. He came to the Bitcoin meetup, and he's like, ha, I'm a millionaire. I just bought a million of these doggy coins, whatever, dogies, whatever they are. I got a million of them. But he, you know, he's a hardcore Bitcoin guy, maximalist. He bought them anyway, just as a joke. So I don't know if he ever kept them or what he did with them, but that was the first time I'd heard about it. And
well, I mean, this is how I saw it when Elon Musk. We pay attention a lot to SpaceX and what they're doing and so on. So when he says something, it pops up on my thing. I see, and he goes, "Yeah, I got his new toddler son." He's like, "I got a toddler hodler. I got him some Doge." Well, of course, it's like, okay, you got Doge, whatever. And then they went after him, and it went up and down because he said this. And I go, fine, I'll buy $200 worth just to say I did, because screw you, you know. And then it started shooting up. And then he said that he didn't like the idea that Bitcoin used so much energy, so they're going to go to a proof of stake and develop on Doge. When he did that, I go, if he's serious about this and he put some development behind that, it could be a thing. So I went and got a little bit more. So I'm sitting there riding a Doge train, but I'm not really, I don't use it and I don't really care, but what it does bring up is this proof of stake thing.
Yeah.
And when you're saying you're doing work and stake, and the way I understood when I would be interviewing like Vitalik, over at Ethereum, I remember him saying one time on the show, he goes, you can't do proof of stake and it be secure unless you do proof of work for a certain period of time to secure the chain, something like that. So I'm going, well, Doge has been around long enough, they could probably go to proof of stake and have some secure chain or something. Explain that to me, what I just said, because I don't even know what the hell I was talking about.
Man, I don't even... You got me on how does proof of stake actually secure the network? I know proof of work does, but how proof of stake does, I'm not sure.
I'm not sure it secures as much as it provides for the transaction.
Yeah.
You know, it gets approved. Instead of mining it with proof of work, you're having proof of stake nodes or something that say, okay, I approve this transaction thing.
Which are a lot of them are probably the AWS nodes anyway. So if the chain becomes a thorn in the government's side, will they go to Amazon and have those nodes shut down?
Yeah, when you say AWS, that's a lot of things people are, oh, yeah, we have this great power. It's like they go to Amazon servers that they're using stuff. And a lot of people do that because they got a lot of power. Well, the same thing with Google and the same thing with whatever. And I'm going, yeah, if you're just begging to get shut down when you really have some impact, that's how you do it.
Was it Parler? That's how Parler got shut down.
Exactly.
I think a lot of the nodes on these, proof of stake chains are held on these servers. So if you become a target, I guess AWS or Amazon is we're going to go ahead and censor you. You can't be on here anymore.
It's non-starter for me. I mean, the ones that I support are. What I really like is the idea of like our IPFS stuff that we're doing. It's the people are the nodes. The people are the machine for it. The people, and that was kind of what Bitcoin mining was about. But then it got to where you get these big giant miners that take over the all the mining, and then we rule. And I'm going, okay, there's that. So this is going to work itself out. The only problem is that when you want it to work out to what? And a lot of these guys are, yeah, I just want to get rich, man. I just pump up my pump and dump my shitcoin, yeah, and I get paid. And then some of them are like in it for the real philosophy of what it means. And those are the ones that I promote and buy.
Right.
And that and I, you know, I may only get, I mean, at the time, it's probably a lot by crap coin. I put $1,000 into something, but putting $1,000 into Bitcoin back in early days was, you know, a good idea. Did.
Right.
You know, so that's what I'm looking for, is the new technology that supports the philosophy, the change in the world I want to see, I want to live in. So those purchases are what determine, you know, and I've done pretty well, you know, in making the choices. It's just that I don't have like a boatload of money to make $1 million bet to become a gazillionaire, but I come out ahead. I mean, you know, I'm not going to retire on one little crap coin, but the philosophy I'm supporting, and your Monero. That's awesome.
Yeah, it's just a joke on, you know, on but, Monero.
But, you know, if it has, you know, good traits.
Actually, it was a lot of Monero people actually liked it. That a lot of the people who were interested in it were actually Monero fans, so we actually took the Monero logo and put a pile of shit on top of it, and then put the anonymous mask underneath it, and that's our logo. So it's the actual Monero M with this pile of crap on top.
You're doing
of it.
It. You know.
Yeah, and you know my son.
I'm getting.
And
some.
He's like, so he tried to copy the Monero website and everything. It's like just totally.
Like, totally,
no shame.
Unabashedly.
No shame at all.
Yeah, no
it's
shame.
A Monero ripoff.
No shame. No shame. You're like, you know, well, they're going to look at it. Well, they probably won't care.
Yeah.
It's probably just more advertisement. You know, right. Whatever. You know, so that's one thing
about
it.
I mean, it's a shitcoin. So if it fails, well, we let you know when you got
it. Okay. This is what I wanted to build up to. I wanted to make sure that we got to talk to Danny, just kind of get to know him and everything. There's a lot of stuff we can talk about and, you know, the influence of different things. But I'm what we're going to get built up to, and I'm going, what everybody wants to know is, you were in Miami for the shitcoin conference.
Yes.
Now, tell me how that came about. You know, there was a Bitcoin. Give me the whole atmosphere of what's going on.
I think it was Ken Bozak's idea actually to do this. So
did you want a drink?
Oh no, I'm good.
Okay.
Go ahead. Anyway, the Bitcoin 2021 in Miami conference was billed as a pretty much a Bitcoin only conference and Bitcoin maximalism. Even though a lot of the sponsors and you know, the people that were speaking were not. I mean, 50 Cent was there talking about his NFTs, so that had nothing to do with Bitcoin. So even though they billed
it, they weren't even going to let Ethereum sponsor or something or. They were definitely going Bitcoin maximalist. You need not apply.
Yeah, on the surface, it was Bitcoin
and
maximalist.
And how much was it to get a booth?
Oh, God, who knows? It was ridiculous. I paid $2,000 just to get a booth at the shitcoin conference, but that was more, I wasn't trying to do anything. I was just trying to support it because,
you know,
I
what they
cool
did,
idea.
I heard it was $10,000 to $15,000 to get a booth or something.
Probably. Yeah, it was massive.
I'm telling you,
I mean,
this
the
is,
tickets were like, anywhere from $900 to $1,500, and the shitcoin thing was free, so it was basically just the whole idea of the shitcoin conference was a big FU to the Bitcoin conference.
Okay, so let's get the dates here.
I loved it. It was great.
Bitcoin conference was like Saturday, Sunday, or something like that.
Yeah, like fourth and fifth, and then the shitcoin was the third and the fourth. So we actually got started on the shitcoin one first. And
when was that planned? How long before the...
A month. They threw it together in a month.
How far away from the other one was it?
It was about four blocks away. And that's their plan. So from here on out, the shitcoin conference is going to follow that Bitcoin conference wherever it goes.
Awesome.
And just be like a thorn in their side. But I found it really interesting because there was a lot of just young kids there, you know, working on their ideas about the NFTs. And I learned a lot about it. And I see the NFT as a pretty good way for fundraising for someone.
I was approached to take the Ron Paul Levolution, you know, mm-hmm. that we created and make an NFT out of that.
Yeah.
You know, I can see that. And we would put it where we had...
What about the blue one that Bernie had? They ripped you off and turned it, painted it blue.
I don't even...
For Bernie.
I don't even freaking pay attention to that. When Russell Brand did that for his book, and everybody was on my ass to, like, go claim copyright or something. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't give a crap, you know? Yeah. I mean, everybody should be doing it. I mean, I don't care. And so the NFT would be... It had value because, you know, I showed the pedigree of where it came from. We have, like, Levolution that we did in 06 campaign. Then it was the Ron Paul thing. And then the Love Bus.
Yeah.
So you make it kind of a triple, you know, because it all, you get the story and you do whatever. But it's like work, you know. And well, let's see how this stuff lays out. I can do that whenever, you know, and it'll be the original something.
Yeah. But, I thought, like, one of the best examples is, I guess, the video of Charlie Bit My Finger, right? Mm-hmm. So this... YouTube video has 900 million views or something. It's like the most viewed YouTube video on the internet, right? Well, they sold that, the rights to that video, to somebody for $724,000 or something like that. And so now this new person owns it, and the original owner took it down off of YouTube. Now the new guy gets to take that video and do with it whatever he wishes. So they just transferred digital ownership. That's a good case. I mean, I can imagine...
Yeah, I'm not about that, because then you're claiming some kind of ownership of a, you know, it's IP, you know, intellectual property thing. And I'm, you know, if you want to own the NFT of the original, so saith, you know, Ernie created the baseball card digital of whatever, fine, but under the condition you can't, like, you don't have any ownership of it other than you got ownership of... this particular baseball card. You
can do whatever you want.
I can do whatever I want.
You can build
want anybody to do whatever they want.
Whatever agreement you want to write in, write into the NFT, then so be it. You know, imagine I was having a podcast with a guy there at the Shitcoin conference, and something that he said kind of spurred the idea. Like, okay, well, what if I'm in Venezuela, right, and I'm just down on my luck, but I can shoot a small video or do a piece of art, and I can make this NFT and put it out there and get some money to eat, like, you know, or somebody who's homeless or whatever, that you could do a short video clip with them, turn it into an NFT. People could buy it, not because it has any value at all, but maybe they want to donate to it. So you got it. They want to donate to this person or whatever.
Sounds like money laundering to me.
Money laundering? No.
Well, because Hunter Biden is selling pieces of crap art he just put together for $500,000 a piece.
Right.
This is just get paid.
Right.
And anonymous buyers through these different things. I'm going, wow. So I'm feeling there's going to be Hunter Biden NFTs are coming.
Probably. But still, you know, somebody in a bad situation could take advantage of that and eat tonight where they might not have before.
There was a story I just saw in the last few days about how NFTs are... providing resources for poor people in developing countries that are doing this with help from technology coming in, you know, that they can get something, you know, and the person that gave them money got something, you know. So this is, but this is way, way too free market. Right. This is outside of the, they're freaking not digging this. And the reason I think of the money laundering thing is that the state is definitely going to say that, because where's their cut? If I got Hunter Biden out there selling $500,000 pieces of canvas, you know, for what? Why? You know, there's something going on there, you know. And it's just a mechanism for where, from our perspective, I gave somebody money for something. They did something. Mm-hmm. You know, like, you got a homeless guy, come out, at least wash my window, do something, you know. And so this is kind of the version of that. And I can see it being... exploited for the aspects of freedom, and the man don't like that. I mean, what the hell do you think we've been fighting for decades?
There was another interesting one that was at the Shitcoin conference. It was this dude from Little Haiti, and he was dressed up as a superhero, and he had a shit. He called himself Captain Haiti, and he's trying to develop a token to pay people in Haiti, in Little Haiti, to clean up the streets. And so you, for every one square foot, you get $3 if you clean it up, and you're issued off of this token. So that's a pretty cool idea.
Some incentive.
Yeah, Yeah, it's an incentive. It was interesting meeting the guy and seeing that he wanted to, you know, do something good for the neighborhood, and he wanted to use.
You know, you see this in other ways. I remember, a decade ago or so, it was a social credit score type thing in Canada. They wanted to encourage, you know, brushing your teeth or whatever.
Right.
They're going to have some kind of incentive issued by the government, and I'm not a fan of that, you know, screw you. So if you do the same thing and you want the park cleaned up or the edging of your neighborhood of somebody something, and they pay you in this, you know, goodwill social credit score token thing or something, privately outside of the system, that's awesome, which is why, therefore, it must be illegal, you know? You see my point? I can see how any of these attempts, and it's violating the narrative, and the narrative is, they, them, those must be in control and in charge in what is and is not acceptable monetary or any kind of value for work done of whatever you're not allowed. And the zoos and Arcade City was a really good example because when they did that, it was like 13, I think you said. And I remember when I interviewed the guy, it was so that you could give rides and be outside the system and you had your own ecosystem and it was phone to phone and you're done. Well, hell no, that's exactly what they don't want. So when you have this, all this, you know, gig economy, when you're giving people rides or you're doing different, whatever, you know, fivers, do anything for $5, all that stuff is under attack by the man because it's outside their control system and taxing. So then you got in California, you're an employee, you got to have a W whatever the hell, and you get, I mean, it's just, it constant, and you could see the opposition to it certainly came from taxi drivers and their medallion holders.
It's a government form there. It's called the W-68.
Yeah,
you blow me and I'll owe you one, that thing. Yeah. That's a
W-68.
Okay, yeah.
Okay. I remember that one. I'll owe you one. But yeah. So, Shitcoin Conference was put on by whom?
Ken Bozak put that together, and just a bunch of people came together in the community, and it was great. I loved seeing all these young kids and stuff putting all this stuff together.
Well, Kingsley Edwards,
ideas.
CEO of Float, called me.
Yeah, they were
like
there.
Friday, I think. You know, he's gone, and he was all excited. Yeah. He was like, "Man, this is awesome!" So when he gets here, he's going to be coming. We'll definitely get his view on it. And we had him on the show last week or
yeah. I had ago. I tried to give Aaron my pass over to the Bitcoin conference, and she's like, "Nah, I don't want to go."
Yeah, who wants to go? You know, that's one thing I asked anybody that was there. Did you go to the Bitcoin conference at all?
I did, and when it opened up, I went and filmed. I started at the entrance and walked around, and I think I walked 2 miles to the end of the line. There was like probably 15,000 people there. They said there was 12,000. I think there was probably more. I mean, I just walked 10 blocks all the way around this whole complex. It was just never any
sea of
people.
Well, who were the vendors?
And I knew like maybe five of them. Like, it was so bizarre to go to this massive conference with all these people, and I didn't know anyone.
Okay, I think I know what's going on, but tell me what your perspective was. Who are these people? Are they selling toenail clippers and RV awnings or what?
Different, you know, card services, ATM services, Paxful was there. A bunch of
suppliers.
Yeah.
See, this is the impression that I got. Okay, you know, see if this rings true. I remember when Davi Barker and Drew Phillips and Megan Kellison and those guys, they did Bitcoin Not Bombs.
Yeah.
And they had the Darth Vader outfit. You remember that?
Yeah.
And he goes, "Pay your taxes. We need you to pay your taxes. Fill out the form." Yeah, you did. You know, they did it in this voice, you know. And Darth Vader, you know, would be passing out 1099s to everybody, you know, at the big Bitcoin conference, one of the first ones they had in San Jose in Silicon Valley, I guess it is. And so they had this big thing, and of course, Darth Vader's walking around. All right, well, make sure you pay your taxes, you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And they would go up to him, all these people, and go, "I wish you guys would just leave. You're just messing. You're mucking it up, and we're not going to get the VCs to give us money if you're going to be doing this anarchist thing, and freaking, we want to be compliers with the man, and we're all legit and banking, whatever."
Yeah.
And I could see it from the beginning. This is way in early on, and I'm going, I can see where this is going. They want to be GoldmanSachs.gov coin and be compliant enough that they're picked technology to be the new digital dollar or whatever the hell they're going to do. And I go, yep, I can see where this is going. Where, of course, how it was sold to the Liberty community and where, you know, they went on LRN and Free Talk Live and the Free State Project really embraced it. And the most, you know, when Patrick Byrne started taking it on Overstock, he was telling me, he goes, my biggest receipt of Bitcoin cryptos from New Hampshire. You know, you know, they're obviously using it. Well, of course, crypto's sick. They go out and they arrest everybody. And the reason that I could see what was coming is because the people that embraced it for the anarchist, leave me aloneist, we're decentralized, not part of the Federal Reserve system of this is the people's money, and you don't have to have a bank account. You don't have to have permission. They can't stop the transaction, that you take responsibility for your own stuff. Now, of course, grandma is freaking out, and I need a grandma adjust button app, which is when, you know, finally Airbits came out and Paul Poy and I became friends, because I'm just like, you know, finally somebody understands this has to be easy.
Especially now.
You got to have wide adoption. Edge, you got to be able to freaking use it.
The Edge wallet, with the whole FIO thing where you have to just pay by name, that's super cool.
It was, you know, he and I used to have regular conversations for a while, and he'd be bouncing off me a lot. Well, what if I did this? What about that? You think this would be, how would this be seen by the community? That kind of thing. And I go, you can do whatever you want, because when he was doing interfacing with your bank account and doing changes and all that kind of stuff, I go, I don't care. I mean, I might use the service. It's just not by default they're taking all my info. Right. You know, have an opt-in or opt-out or something. Don't just put it in there and then I'm surveilled by the man.
If you want to use the exchange on the Edge wallet, then you do the KYC. I don't do it. I don't use it. I don't mind. KYC. I don't have to KYC anything.
As long as I know what I'm getting into, you know. And my thing is that if you're going to be on the list, be on top of the list. It's safer there. That's kind of my thing. So it's not like, you know, he has a Coinbase account. Yeah, and I used it like none. I mean, you know, I get an account on everything just because whatever, right? But the
account I can,
but you know, like Bittrex and stuff, I'd go back and forth, and now none of those. It got so bad that I'm like, no, I gotta see what they were sucking you in. Then, oh, you want to get your money? Well, now you got to give us your social security number, kind of crap.
Yeah.
And you know, and your email, and I'm going, nah, I'm good. So I kind of bypass that. So I'm more interested in the shit coins, you know, because Bitcoin is compliance. And I bring this up because I suspect that when you went into the Bitcoin thing, and anybody that I've asked, you know, this kind of rang true, I feel that it was all the compliers, all the people that are building things that are being compliant with the banking system, or how we're going to make it easier to fill your taxes, or how KYC'd and you know, money laundering it is, and how compliant their machines are with whatever, and all of that, and you have the EFTs that they're making, how they turn, you know, gold and silver into paper is how they're turning Bitcoin into paper, you know, and putting it on, you know, Wall Street. They're having compliance with everything, and here comes the hedge funds, here comes the investment community, the VCs of, we gonna do. So I could see that the Bitcoin conference in Miami then was for those guys.
Oh, yeah.
And that's why you didn't see, no, the anarchist, leave me aloneist, libertarian, you know, screw the system. They were all how we were going to integrate into
their
system.
The media room was a bunch of people I'd never seen or heard of and that were in there. They canceled our media passes, and like we had to basically sneak into the media room to get in there. Like me and
wait,
Omar.
Wait. The crypto show, they canceled your media pass.
Yeah, they.
How did they cancel your media
pass? They said that they issued too many media passes, and they did it to Tatiana, they did it to me, they did it to Omar Bam.
So they did it selectively.
All the old school people were locked out, and then all these new, you know, whoever the hell they are.
Maximus.
Yeah, they're in there.
Tone Bay's had his own.
Yeah, yeah.
Riser.
Tone. Yeah, Tone. They didn't even have Tone speaking at the Bitcoin conference, but Tone spoke at the shitcoin conference.
Why?
He was the
comic relief.
No, he debated. He took the Bitcoin position in a debate on.
I mean, I dump on Tone a lot. I mean, we're good friends, and you know, he stayed at my home several times, and, and you know, Donna likes him, and he's nice and polite, and chews with his mouth closed, and you know, whatever. But this maximalist Bitcoin thing just freaking drives me nuts. And he'll go and he'll say some of the stupidest stuff, and I'm going, who are you talking to? I just feel better if you just say, yeah, because they're paying me, or because I benefit, because I'm compliant, so I've got to have government or something.
The majority of my crypto holdings are going to be Bitcoin, because when I seen where this was going on, you know, the 4-year cycle, and I knew, hey, we're down here at the bottom. I'm going to start buying, and I feel damn good about it.
If I was to make a prediction, Bitcoin is going to explode.
Yeah,
because they've decided that it will.
Yep,
this is a decision by them that it is compliant enough, and it really became obvious to me when Blockstream got was main development being paid for and went to MIT and they started curating the blah 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 blah. And Blockstream was being funded by Dicastries. Well, Dicastries owns big. Insurance company firm of whatever, it's all over Europe, one of the biggest in the world, and he was chairman of the Bilderberger meetings 2 years or something. And I'm going, so let's see, chairman of Bilderberger meeting, you know, funding Blockstream developing Bitcoin to be compliant with the government. Let me think, how much deeper do I got to dig here? Yeah. You know, I know exactly what's going on. Bitcoin is going to become GoldmanSucks.gov coin. I guarantee it, and then what? You know, they're going to have a Bitcoin customer service.
Well, you got plenty of options.
Yeah, this is, you know, I don't like them, and they want to get away from cash because they want to be able to just flip a switch and you're off. You're not approved. You can't buy this. You can't go there. You can't. I mean, it's China's social credit scores. I mean, this is what's going to happen, and they have to tie money to it. And Bitcoin is going. So if you want to just make a bunch of money, I'd get Bitcoin. You know, it's gonna go. But then when you start to see the features of it, will Bitcoin Cash or some of these other alternative coins, will it rise with that as an alternative to what they have? I'm thinking that is the case, and because that's the faith I have, or certainly the world that I want. So that's what I'm doing. Because I get Bitcoin on a regular basis, somebody or something, and I immediately turn it into Bitcoin Cash and some other alternatives, and I'm done. And I don't touch them. I don't spend them hardly.
Yeah.
You know, everybody's on my ass that, you know, you got to.
Why not Monero instead of
Bitcoin? I get some Monero.
Yeah.
And I get some, you know, I get a bunch of different little stuff for these reasons. I'm not there because if you like.
No SV? You're not going to get a Bitcoin SV?
I think I got some SV dust of the splitting of some crap, you know.
Yeah.
And that was one thing. Steven and Derek J were really big on SV, you know, Satoshi Vision, because they were Bitcoin Satoshi Vision, BSV. So they were on it because of some of the features that it had in their AnyPay stuff. And so, you know, I trust everybody that I believe have a good heart and doing it for the right reasons, and if they believe in the tech, you know, but I got to make sure that they're doing it for the right reason. If you're doing your Monero, you know, and have some good, you know, features in it and everything, and just to have fun and make money, I'm good with that. I'll buy some.
It's supposed to be a joke, so if it doesn't go anywhere, it does. But I mean,
no, I think it
would.
With the meme payment,
it's building.
That's a good idea.
It is essentially going to be pretty much the same thing as Pirate Coin. It's going to be built on the same platform using the same privacy features, only it's going to be fun. And there will be another way to get the coin instead of buying it, which I think lowers the level of entry for crypto if somebody wants to get in, because now all they got to do is make a meme and we're going to send them some coins.
Who is? How do you determine that?
Well, you would put the meme on our social media, and the best memes we would send tokens to.
Well, how many? I mean, is it a good one you get extra? Or
well, we're only going to get
them or what?
Well, every block, the blocks are 50. Every 10 minutes, there's going to be 50 coins minted for the first 210,000 blocks, just like Bitcoin. And then after that, it reduces by 33%. So of 30% of that would go to paying out for memes.
Okay. I do a meme. Do I get all of it? Do I get a full block? Do I get voted a portion? How is that determined?
You would get a portion of that.
How much?
We've got to work that one out.
Okay, I'm wondering if you had a plan.
I'm trying to find either
a
masternode service.
I'm going to load up a bunch of memes, man. I'm going to get rich.
Yeah, I want to find a masternode service or something. I need to come up with a service that can handle this. Whether we might have to have CAPTCHAs or something to keep the bots out or something. But.
You know, that's one thing that you and I haven't really talked about how advanced we've got on the IPFS stuff. And, it's really starting to get to where people are developing it to be everything. And all I wanted was, the IPFS to be able to store ones and zeros that can't be censored or deleted that I can access from anywhere. And then it's turned into entire websites we just pull over. I'll show you, man. It's freaking awesome, And I got my little pirate box over here. And Thomas, he'll be camping here on our site. So the white van that will be here will be him. And then Swatek will be here, and we're going to be doing different presentations. And you really need to, find out and talk to the... And Derek is the guy, because it's the software is getting such that you can have nodes that will be able to do this stuff and be off of the man's grid. It ain't no Amazon, server kind of thing. And it's the people. It's Internet 3.0 kiss my butt, And I can see so many services for that. And all I wanted to do was to keep it simple, that we can put up certain Liberty Community websites that can't be deleted. And the first one we did was, of course, James Corbett. We did Corbett, and now we've added on a bunch of others. I mean, a lot of Liberty, they're just as fast as they can buy. I bought them whatever computer. You tell me what you need, and I'll get it for you, and they're just loading them up. And it takes time to actually do that and then pin it to where that it's, permanent on various different computers, and then it just kind of spreads out. And this technology, I really want you to, we'll sit down and talk, and Derek will explain it, because at the beginning of you doing this, to be able to do this, you have to have the server capacity. And then how much is that going to cost? What if it was free?
I like free.
Yeah. In a lot of ways. See, the one thing is that when they were talking about Linux, it's free software. And I go, bullshit. I go down and get me a Red Hat thing at Staples. It wasn't free. And then they go, no, free, as in freedom. And I go, oh, okay. Well, you guys got to specify that.
Yeah.
So this is free and free. I mean, give me a two for free or, there's got to be some logo in there. So,
yeah.
So we'll go, yeah, you guys go get it, man. You're already, they're listening. They're already getting
freedom,
the web page.
Free square.
Yeah.
Free squared.
Free square. God dang it. Before I publish this, we got to go get some freaking web pages or we're going to lose it. I do that all the time. Somebody just got it because I, damn it. All right, go do it. Free squared. No, damn it. I'm going to do it because fuck, Although I say that out loud. All right, so. All right, let me just pull up GoDaddy here. It's free and free. So I just
free with a little two on the.
If you do that, then it's a free two.
Yeah.
Then whatever.
Yeah.
Let's go to do this. So tell me about the conference that you guys did there, and what were kind of the vendors, what was being said, what was discussed, what was the consensus of the people that were there, and then how did it compare
Matter,
with the Bitcoin?
There was one, MatterFi, which is basically a reiteration of the Stash node, Chris Odom's deal, which is Monetaz, open transactions.
Okay, Chris Odom, where does I know that name? What was he doing?
He's been a developer for quite some time. He used to go by Love Drop. I think he did some of that dating game stuff or whatever. Anyway, but he's working with Justice Ranveer and a guy named Mihoff, and they're making a platform that makes wallets for shitcoins. And they're using the open transactions platform and payment codes, all kinds of different stuff. It was pretty interesting. And, you had Float. You had somebody was doing some kind of lending thing. And there was a cannabis Bitcoin there. And then there was our little table with a menorah, which basically I had my son draw. The banner was done with crayon on a piece of board, like, just make
craft paper.
I want it to look shitty. So he took some crayons and made the menorah logo
on a
piece of paper. Yeah, yeah.
Hell yeah. Send that to me. I want to put that in. Send that to me.
Our business cards were torn up pieces of paper written in crayon. So that's our...
This is just so like freaking
shitty
awesome.
As you could totally
this is
get.
So awesome. This is so freaking awesome. You know, we brought all our stuff to make stencils.
Okay.
You know, like doing the Ron Paul signs and so on. We've been doing that around the country. Well,
I have the table. So I have my tablecloth. They made a really nice orange tablecloth for me with the menorah logo on it. So I need to pick up a table, and I'm going to do some podcasting from the menorah table over here at my site.
Okay, let's do a search on, you know, we got to do some business first, because we published this. I know we're screwed. Okay? All right, so it's Freedom Squared.
Yeah.
Maybe, you know, Free Squared, Freedom Squared.
Just if free. We
do, what?
Free Squared, Liberty Squared, I don't know.
All right. You want to hear? Yeah, we're doing a show. You can come in and hang out. Well, you can help us with, you know, a new domain.
Oh, my God, this guy has a gun on him. Should I be afraid?
Yeah,
you're not robbing us, are you?
No.
Okay, good.
So we got Freedom Squared. We do Freedom SQD, you know.
Free Squared. You said you get it free and you're free. So
right. So you know, Free Squared. So if we go Free SQD, you think I'd be...
Maybe.
Free Squared.
Yeah.
Let me see what that looks like. And I go, you know, Free...
Free SQ or...
Squared. See, I don't know if they would get it, you know. It's available for a dollar. So I what the hell, man? We can get a whole bunch of them, you know. Free Squared. Free Squared. How else would you do it? Because if I just do Free 2,
mm-hmm.
you know, I don't think that does it. You know, Free Squared. Now, what were we going to use this for? How would we use this?
Oh, you were talking about the IPFS, how it's free and free.
Yeah, but I'm wondering, you know, for a particular avenue, on-ramp for that, it'd be Free Squared like a crypto or Free Squared.
Right.
You know, it's free and free. Or it's a storage. You know, we offer that service kind of thing. You know, I'm going to go ahead and get it, and then we'll get something else, you know, if we do it. But I just want to get this because damn it, you know.
Because you can?
Because I can. Because, damn it. You know, all right, give me my package here. I get blah, 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 add to cart. All right, it goes there, Free Squared, 5 years. I mean, just do it a year because... it's $8.29 for it's $1 a month. Okay, I was like, I gotta get the $8, man. I got screwed. All right, continue the cart and blah. And of course, GoDaddy asks you 5 billion questions about how much more money you want to spend, and I go, no, thank you. I gotta hit no's on everything. No. No. All right, just ask me another, you know, do I got... No. Oh, my God. These guys, they kill me. Okay, 1 year. Continue to check out. God, give me a freaking checkout, man. Shit. And complete purchase. Free Square. All right. Now, the reason is because we are talking about offering the surface. As a matter of fact, you know Matthew Raymer? He's contentsafe.co. Mm-hmm. They're kind of what they're doing. Thank you for your order. I got a receipt sent to my old email address that I don't have anymore, so that's probably not going to work. But anyway, what happens is the storage of data and then the dissemination of it is a thing. Because where do you store it? because when I go on the BitChute or Mines or Library, I'm sitting there, especially bad internet, I'm watching Spinning Wheels for the rest of my life, you know. And I want to be able to just load it up to my IPFS, and then they pull it from that, which is what we're working with Kingsley on Float. So he and Aaron are willing to do this, and it's getting, they're on the Pirate Box chat, and mm-hmm. everybody's doing Telegram, we're getting it all done. And it's going to be very simple for us to just, you know, content providers put our stuff up, and then it's pulled so that we have retained control of it. We have the list, and they don't have to have the servers to do it, because it will just take the fields of the title and the summary and everything, will go on your profile, and then the embed or the video is loaded on IPFS. So they don't have to buy a crap load more servers. So this is how it would apply to you. If you're doing this and you need this storage of data, the blockchain copied or pinned out there on IPFS, the protocol allows for 15 gazillion different people to have it, and it's always there. It never goes away, and it can't be censored. Oh, yeah, and it's free, you know? Yeah. So I'm going, I think we need to do that. So I've been encouraging these guys, you know, that's why I'm going to be talking to Matt. I go, look, we're close to doing this. If you don't do it, I will. You know, and, I got it already, don't worry about it. Because he's working with Autonomy and Richard Grove, and they're doing a lot of it. And they're, the contest that we have, matter of fact, that's what these flyers are for, you know, we're doing the contest, you know, with Autonomy and, you know, Pirates and, you know, all the stuff that we're doing with IPFS and everything, is that they're doing the contest for us to have a lot of this development. And if you are the first crypto with Monero, you know,
yeah,
on using IPFS as your storage, you're not, yeah, on Amazon's, you're not, you know, it'll work, and it's free. I'm telling you.
Yeah. I was trying to actually get in with Poop Senders, and I haven't heard back from them yet. So
What?
There's this company that, it's a gag business that, you want to send someone some gorilla poop or elephant poop or whatever kind of poop, you just pay for it, and then they anonymously send the poop to somebody's door. And I was going to buy like a bunch of credit and then let people buy the poop sending with Monero. I mean, why not, you know, have a
shit? Does it have a little that like way a QR code on it?
Yeah, that way it's a shit coin that's actually backed by shit.
Okay, this is way too cool, man. Because I tell you why it's cool. One, because people do it.
Yeah.
And it's fun, and it makes fun of their, you know, their, oh, your shit coin. Yes, yeah, we are, right, you know.
Your shit coin. Goddamn right we are.
This is awesome. Okay. So, but it still needs, you know, some, yeah, server. It needs, yeah, you know, some mechanism by which ones and zeros, right, get stored and distributed. And that's what we're working on.
Right.
You know, we need to talk about this. We'll go, you know, talk with Derek, because we keep developing more and more ideas. Because really what it was, for me, it was very simple. I go, I need to store ones and zeros somewhere. I need to access those ones and zeros from somewhere or everywhere. And nobody can stop me from getting my ones and zeros. I go, how hard is this? And you have this technology for doing it, and then what the hell are we waiting on? Well, you have to. Well, then let's have to. What do you need to do it? Here's the money, man. What the hell? You need a Raspberry Pi and a laptop? Well, it's freaking, man, what are you waiting on? So as time has gone on over the last few years, we've developed and we've got to this point that it's a thing. It's working. And I'm going, the man ain't going to like it. And I don't care, because there's not anything they can do about it.
Right.
You know, this is what the power of blockchain and crypto was, is that they can't stop it. So when Danny wants to do his Monero, you know, what are they going to do?
Well, it's not me. The other guy that created it is Shitoshi Kakamoto.
You're killing me, man.
Yeah.
This is awesome. How long did it take you to come up with all of this crap?
It came out of my birthday party, and then ever since, the memes kept carrying on, and then with every meme, like, I wrote the white paper on a roll of toilet
paper. How long
paper.
Ago was this?
March 16th. We were sitting the night that the Crypto 6 got arrested. We were having my birthday party, and my birthday party gets interrupted by a bunch of guys in New Hampshire getting arrested. I'm like, okay, man. Pay attention to the shit over here. Forget those guys. But no, and you know, we watched the arrest happen,
yeah,
during my birthday. So that was kind of where where it all came together.
Yeah, who filmed
with
that?
All
it was
the
Chris
ideas.
Wade from Think Penguin, right?
Yeah. And so they wrote the white paper on a roll of toilet paper, and it's not a white paper; it's a wipe paper.
You're killing me.
Just. The memes never end. It's just like,
people were having fun with it. Awesome.
And so we just started integrating everybody's ideas, whatever they came up with, into it. Oh, you should have this. You know, they're Satoshis. You know, every little instead of a Satoshi, it's a Satoshi.
Shitoshi. No, it should be Shitoshi.
Yeah, right.
Tushy.
Yeah.
Shitoshi.
Right.
That is awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I went to the beach and rented a bunch of horses, and I took them to the orphanage down there in Acapulco, and so I filmed myself gathering horse shit off of the beach, and those were the first blocks. Mine.
And this has only been since March?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
It's on a proof of stank chain.
No!
And just all kinds of...
I hope you got all this shit written down.
All kinds of stupidity. Yeah.
Is this stuff written down, every one of these items?
Yeah, it's all in the Twitters and everything. So people would go into our Telegram and our Twitter and post memes, and we would send them tokens.
Has this starting to... take off in
well, right now it's just on that Aspire, so those are there's nowhere
just
to sell
on
them.
What? Aspire.
Aspire. Okay. Yeah, so there's no marketplace for them or anything yet, so that's why we're actually going to put it onto Komodo and have the privacy features and still have the fun.
Okay, so you
that way we'll have DEXs, we'll have wallets, we'll have
stuff. You got to have a launch, man.
Yeah,
what's the launch? I mean, what are you going to call it? You know, a starburst.
Oh no!
On the toilet thing or something.
No, it's air dumps. We give air dumps.
Okay, so when's this happen?
We wanted to do it at the Shitcoin conference, but we don't have the chain ready yet. So I'm waiting on Komodo to put it all together for me.
Well, how long are you talking about here?
Like a week or two? I'm not sure.
What can I do to help? I want to be part of this. This is awesome.
Yeah.
You have a bunch of art and you got, you know.
Yeah, we have the logo.
You have a
package or whatever. Yeah, Manuro, the word manure, like horse shit, with an O on the end, .io.
Okay.
MANUREO. Manureo.
.co?
.io.
.io. Okay. Are we following along at home, okay? Manure. MANUREO.io. Manureo. Here we go. A private shitty currency. Oh, my God. You guys are killing me. And then it has the pile on the... Oh, I see how you did your logo. That's cool. It looks like, yeah, like he's wearing a M shit hat.
Okay, yeah.
All right. This is awesome. Okay, you're on Float. You're working with Float?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. When I see... All right.
I mean, I even...
How do I get a bunch of these? How much are they? How can I get... I want to get a bunch because I want to pimp the shit out of it.
Well, you just as soon as we can get the chain up, you can start making memes and I'll send you tokens for the memes.
Well, can't I just buy a bunch?
As soon as it's up and we get it on the DEX and miners are putting their coins on there, then that'll be available. I think we can take some of the first coins for the DEX or whatever out of the treasury.
I will go ahead and
I think you can scroll down.
Some memes.
I think you can scroll down on it. Does it allow you to scroll down on yours?
No. What am I on here? I'm on Mozilla.
Oh, just click the Twitter.
I have media kit.
Yeah.
Oh, we got logos and stuff.
Yeah.
How long you been? Who's helping you with this?
My son is doing it all. He built the website and everything, and then I'm sure I'll need more help with development. Click the Twitter, and you can just like scroll through, and see that's the white paper.
Written on toilet paper.
That is awesome. What did you use to write with?
A pen.
Well, what? This had to be prison paper or something.
No, it's toilet paper.
Well, I know, but from the prison, it looks like it's holding up a little bit more. It's not falling apart. You know?
Yeah.
Stuff you get at the gas station.
Maybe Ross sent it to us. I don't know.
The first meme mine privacy on proof of stank chain with shit 257-bit encryption and toilet bowl ring signatures with white paper by... Satoshi Nakamoto. This is awesome. Who's that?
That's Satoshi.
No! Okay. We'll be on this for, like, ever, you know? God. All right. I'm in. I'm so in. Just for entertainment.
Yeah,
I'm in.
Just for entertainment.
Okay, I want to get...
If it wins, it wins. If it doesn't, you know...
It already did. The second you guys watches, you won.
We warned you ahead of time. It was a shit coin.
This is...
There's no expectations.
That is... You know, it's kind of like when they do... They did Starlink satellite, and they go, better than nothing beta. You know, hey, it's better than nothing beta, but it's getting 100 megabyte. I'm like, damn, man. You know, all right, I'm in. That is creative as hell. Who's been helping you a lot with this?
It's been my son and just the guys at Komodo are going to be helping. And looks at some of the code comes from Pirate that Komodo is using.
Oh, my God.
So, yeah, no one will know that you sent shit to anyone, I guess, because it's private.
You don't see my shit.
This shit's private. It's like the last word on the page there. Okay. Why Monuro? Because this shit's private.
Okay. You see, this is the kind of stuff that really changes things and gets you in trouble, you know, because it is too effective. It is it doesn't support the narrative. And that is what is really going on here. Whenever you do this kind of thing, and God forbid you have these features and such, and, you know, oh my God, we find some way to, we'll talk about how we can do it to where there is no server. There is no central. The chain is on IPFS, and it's pinned and more than that. We'll go on about that. And the reason is because they're threatening, coercing, arresting, jailing, whatever the hell they can to dissuade this stuff. And if you do it to where they can't stop it, it's already done. You already have all your, the idea and how people can get paid for the meme submissions and how you can use it and what exchanges it's on. See, that's another thing. The exchanges is where they're going after now. Right. You know, they're going to be, man, you better be compliant with whatever. And when they, and what a lot of the guys are working on IPFS is they want to have IPFS exchanges that, you know, there is nobody. You know, there's an exchange, and it's just... Right. So this is all what I've been working on for the past few years, because I knew it was always going to come down to this. If they can stop, prevent, arrest, curtail, punish, what they are. I guarantee, they sure as hell want to. So when you had... That's why I wanted to talk to you about, I had no idea this was going. This is awesome. I mean, I know you mentioned it before, but this is not. You're way down the road, man. The when you go to Miami and they have the shitcoin thing versus the main Bitcoin, whatever the hell that was, you can see where it's broken, where the line is, and that is why I'm encouraged by working with people like, you know, Kingsley and Aaron, because I know that they understand, and they still got investors, and they got to, you know, try and, you know, make money and play the game, but they're open to, as long as it doesn't, you know, it's not no skin off their nose, they don't give a shit what some, you know, government man says or politician yet, you know, but by having the ability to interface with the Liberty community, the leave me aloneist, anarchist, voluntarist, bite me, individuals. See, that's one thing, they keep thinking things a community. There's some like central plan for freedom somewhere or something. And when it's just the opinion of people that understand what's going on and why they would do something like this, how do you round them up? You know, I mean, it's just, so you need to have some mechanism that they can communicate ones and zeros for currency, for information, for video, for MP3s. I mean, for whatever the hell, text, graphics, PDFs. And they can't stop it. That is of enormous value to the future generations. So that's why I want to see if we can interface this, because it's a payment system. And that's what a lot of the guys are working on, is a payment wallet, a payment system on IPFS. And if it's shitcoin, Monuro...
I get tongue-tied on it, too. I often say Monero instead of Monuro, or I'll even call Monuro. Yeah, it gets...
Well, what were the guys at you already had this. You had a table. You know, at the shitcoin conference in Miami. They were all over that.
I mean, it was just a joke. It was more.
Well, how secure were they?
Everybody loved it. Everybody wanted to know more about it.
Absolutely.
It was fun. Like, people would come to the booth and you're like, no, this is the only one here that actually says shitcoin. Look at that. Somebody drew a cartoon, like a crayon. You know, my banner in the back was on a big piece of easel paper.
You go to the Bitcoin conference and they're like, Danny who?
Yeah.
You go to the shitcoin conference. Hey, it's Danny.
Yeah.
You know?
So, well, I know a lot of the people there, but not. The attendees was...
they were all in their $1,200 suit without a tie.
That was pretty impressive just to see all those, that many people. I mean, that's how many new people are in. I don't know any of these people.
Because they got the green light.
Yeah.
I remember having this conversation with Patrick Byrne.
But, I mean, right now, you could probably sell out a conference for a funeral home, right? And people have been locked down for so long.
Yeah.
They would go to anything. That's why, hell, we're selling out this year, and hardly anybody came last year. Anarchapulco sold out. They should have had way more people for Anarchapulco. These Bitcoin things sold out. The shitcoin things sold out. Like, I don't know, have a conference for the sake of...
Yeah, but I'm not feeling it, you know, about the Bitcoin being so popular, because it's who populated it. And this is why I wanted to bring up what Patrick Byrne said. He said... It was, they got the memo like January of 16. And he said, and then right after, you know, because he got a call from a VP of Goldman Sachs in Paris that said they wanted him on a plane like right then, what we got to do, how many foot massages you need to get your ass to Paris. So he goes in there and they sit down and they go, okay, Patrick. And this is after all his lawsuits and everything and his T-Zero stuff and everything. And he goes, I go, well, what do they want to talk to you about? And he goes, they wanted to know what their role was in this new crypto economy. And he goes, well, you want it straight? And he goes, hit me between the eyes. And he goes, there isn't one. You know, you guys don't have a role. And he goes, yeah, that's kind of what we figured, because what they had done is they took 5 or 6 of their IT guys and sent them off on a 3-5 month mission or whatever to go find out about crypto and report back to the board. They came back and they go, man, we're effed. Okay? This is not, there's nothing we... They go, damn, well, if you can't beat them, well, we got to co-opt them, you know?
Yeah.
So that's what you were seeing at the Bitcoin conference in Miami.
Yeah.
It was all those that got the green light that it's okay now to develop as long as it's compliant with and then central banking of the blah, blah government of some whatever the hell. So those people in there are not your voluntarist, libertarian, freedom-oriented kind of, you know, leave me aloneist. They are part of the machine that have shoehorned Bitcoin into the legacy banking system. That's what's going on.
They were easy to spot. They had masks on. That's the good part about the mask, is I can spot, I don't want to talk to that guy, I know.
Yeah, I don't need you to tell me who you're voting for, I get it.
Yeah, I can see.
So after your experience with shitcoin and the Bitcoin thing, you know, was there any excitement about something new other than your, you know, Monero? I mean,
just all the different ideas these young guys had about NFTs and where it would take us. And I mean, plus Bitcoin's getting the Taproot upgrade. I guess that's going to give it some Ethereum.
What does that even mean?
It's going to get. It'll have some Ethereum features to it now. They want to be able to do tokens. Yeah, you'll be able to use Taproot to add extra features and stuff into Bitcoin. Which I guess if you wrap it or there's some third party wallets and stuff out there that you can obfuscate your transactions with Ethereum now. So if these same features are available with Bitcoin, I would assume that you'll be able to do the same thing, mask your Bitcoin transactions.
So they say. I don't trust them. I'm not.
Burner phone, you know, obscure email address from some other country, and do whatever you want with it. And as long as you don't bring it back into your other network of emails, I think it's as good as Monero or Manuro or anything else.
Well, when I talk to people about a lot of this stuff, and you know, a good example is like Signal. They go, oh, yeah, signal encrypted end-to-end of encrypted encrypted.
That's why I get an alert every time somebody joins it.
Exactly. So I go, like, whenever somebody joins it, I go, I see you.
Yeah.
And they're like, whoa, 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 who's this? And I, you know, or they have my Ernie, what the hell are you talking about? I go, what, do you think it was private? Well, they said, you know, I go, well, maybe encrypted end-to-end, they don't see the message, but 90% of what I don't want them to know is who I'm talking to,
right.
And they map out your pirate network. I'm going, no, this is not what you think it is. So I'm looking for something totally. I'm way up against the wall on this, you know, leave me aloneism thing. And I could see, and we'll be talking about it the rest of the week when we're doing shows on my big epiphany, you know, the show I just did with James Corbett, because I can see what's coming.
Didn't I introduce you to Ija, right? Remember, he was a hacker dude, had Demon Saw, and he had this whole communications network that would take itself down and rewrite itself every...
Demon Saw.
Yeah, so Eric J. Anderson, he's one of the... he's always at DEF CON.
Well, was this you introduced me to him at one of the Texas conferences?
No, I thought I'd give you his information and stuff to get a hold of him, but... Anyway,
Demon Saw. He's at the DEF CON. He does it. I talked to him a couple of times. It's time to talk to him again.
File sharing system that Kim.com actually was wanting to use that tech.
Really?
And so him and Kim.com and McAfee got in an argument over that tech, and that's what it was over. Kim wanted to use Demon Saw for his new rollout of Mega.
Well, I remember him saying that he had talked at DEF CON probably four or five times.
Yeah.
And soon, eventually, you know, the NSA, FBI, whatever, take him off and we're going to have a conversation.
Yeah.
You know? And so when he told them to get bent, you know, then, you know, it got interesting. Yeah. I haven't talked to him since then, so I should probably call that be a good... You know,
before he split ways with McAfee, he did have a communications network set up, but they never went anywhere with it. And I don't remember exactly how it worked, but I know it would erase itself.
Everything, really?
Yeah.
It erased, did it reconstitute somewhere?
Yeah. I don't know how that...
I talked to him about a lot of this stuff, but it always came down to... where your servers are. And that's been one of the things that I think has been, and that's why I so gravitated, once I got kind of a bead and it was explained to me by Derek on what IPFS was and how it worked, I go, this is the missing component. Like you guys in crypto, oh, it has to have snarks. Oh, it has to have, you know, Mimblewimble, or it's got to have, you know, whatever the hell, some thing to, you know, give it some privacy aspects to it. I go, but they're not having... anywhere it's done, where is it stored? Yeah. Where is the data? Where's the blockchain? Where's the, you know, the exchanges? How are you able to... And it's always coming down to where the ones and zeros are. And could it be stopped? Could it be curtailed? Could it be... So then with the blockchain, it's replicated so many places that, you know, that's what gives it its kind of safety. But so they have to, you know, phone home in the code. And that's where, you know, here comes Blockstream. Yeah. So I'm like, never mind. I never mind. So that's why I was so, you know, adamant about, Derek, come on in.
Yeah.
Can we ask him right now? Because we got 20 minutes so we can do this. And then we can get answers to our questions right here. Okay. Have you heard of Monero?
Monero, yeah.
No.
Oh, Monero, yeah. I heard about Danny. About
oh, no, no, no. You, they are way down the road. That's the logo.
That's how I felt about Monero when I was working with Dino.
So there's, and this is not, you know, this it's written on toilet paper, so it's a white paper.
Wipe, not white, but
that's,
wipe.
That's their white paper.
That's their white paper. And then we're going to talk about it, okay? Now, this is the question that I had for you that we were going to talk to you about. I'll do it now. The audience gets this. The man's here right now. Okay. So this is what we wanted to know. If you were to write all this and make it available and, you know, the storage of the blockchain and the mining of it and everything, and I remember Saeed was talking about trying to make some kind of a crypto on IPFS to where it would function on that.
Saeed's done some really impressive things, and I haven't had a chance to look into... I mean, Yeah, you could put the blocks on IPFS. I mean, you can integrate IPFS with blocks.
Kind of in the manner that they're doing that delayed proof of work.
Yeah, right? But IPFS in that is just a mechanism for relaying the data, right?
Yeah, it's not made to be, a subscriber interface, back and forth, two-way kind of thing. But when you're talking about, we'll go on, Amazon Cloud or some bullshit like that, I'm like, what the hell would you want to do that for? I mean,
but that's like where they're going to put their servers, which is extremely expensive for what it is, I think. I mean, I'm saying,
will IPFS be able to offer these kinds of services?
You can put IPFS on the Amazon Cloud. They're not exclusive things. They're, Amazon Cloud is just a place to put data. You can run servers. You can run an IPFS server on the Amazon Cloud. So it's kind of different, right?
No, I understand that. But if you had your own servers, like what we got, where we have our own main pinning, that's really what you need.
Bitcoin is essentially, is very much like IPFS. If I have a hash of a block or a hash of a transaction, I ask a node for the rest of that data, and it gives it to me. Just like IPFS, if I ask for the file that this hash represents, it gives it to me. So IPFS is a mix between BitTorrent and Bitcoin.
Really. Well, that means that the embassies, those little Raspberry Pis that we're working with, could serve as something like this.
Yeah, I've been running a Raspberry Pi an embassy on a Raspberry Pi since we had that show.
What do you think of it?
I like it a lot.
Okay.
The embassy is that Nexus? Or?
No, embassy is from Start 9 Labs. They were at FloatFest in east of Austin. And one of the guys that is their kind of festival PR media marketing guy has been a listener to the show for 4 or 5 years or something. So he knew that I was doing this. So he went there and came and goes, look, let me show you the hardware that we have and what we're doing. They're using Tor for you to have a Raspberry Pi. You put it above the ceiling tiles in Starbucks off their Wi-Fi or something. I mean, whatever, you get internet access. It's a plug and play to where you have that its own address to where you use that as storage and be your own home server anywhere on the internet, and you would have data there. Well, they go, if you write a application that will go into their little Play Store thing on the embassy for Pirate Box communication, be able to interface with IPFS, they'll make it part of the thing, and then there's our fulfillment. People just order the embassy and it has all our stuff on it. I don't have to create crap, and they download the software or it's on their Play Store app and we're done.
So you can make a Docker image, and Start9 can integrate this Docker image into it, so that's like an app within their thing. But it's a licensed program. It's not free. You have to buy a license for the embassy, which isn't a bad thing, because somebody's taking responsibility for it. People that are taking responsibility should get paid.
Well, I don't mind that. That's for using the embassy and its features. But if you have the Pirate Box feature separate from that, it's just an app, right?
Yeah. It can stand alone, too.
Yeah, it stands alone. It's just because that's what Thomas is working on here. I don't know if you've seen the contest, parameters they got and everything. It's going to be a thing.
What do you mean by hiding it in a Starbucks? Is this some kind of a mesh net?
No, it's the idea that you can have this device and get it connected to any network, and it goes out over Tor. So you can put it in the ceilings of a Starbucks, have it connect to the Starbucks Wi-Fi, and then you can use this device on your phone.
The point I'm making is it doesn't matter where it connects to the internet. Because you just get an internet connection and you're done.
So I've got a Lightning node, and then I've got a that's running on this embassy, and then I've got a Lightning wallet that's connected to my embassy on my phone. Phone's running Tor, and I can spend money off of that Lightning node with my phone software, and get to it configured.
Very Derek geeky stuff that it's not me doing it.
I didn't mean to crash your party. I came down here to tell you kind of privately about what a piece of crap Starlink is. And how much time of mine it's wasted, but I don't want to say that on any radio show or anything. So I'll tell you.
He got a Starlink that is for, because they make it geographical. It's like in your zip code; it's assigned to.
You knew this?
Yeah.
Oh, so you can't move it?
It's like a base cell phone unit of how many it goes there. They don't want, because I want it for an RV.
I just updated my service address to 30 miles south of here. So
okay, so that might work.
I'm waiting for. I'm waiting, right. Giving a little bit of time.
No, by the end of the year. No, that's one thing I've been hammering on. I'm going. I can't because I don't have a zip code. Yeah. You know, right. They say, you know what? Well, where are you going to be? All over the freaking North America. I mean, right. You know, what do I put?
Yeah.
So until they put it for planes, trains, and automobiles, and boats, and RVs.
Well, how do you update your driver's license?
Oh, shut up. So what happens is I go, I want to be able to get Starlink, but it be able to travel around with me, and that service is not available yet.
Well, apparently, I read a lot about this today. I didn't know what you knew, because I looked into this when I first got it, and nobody was really talking about
it. I'm sure I said something to him. He was not listening to me.
Could have. Yeah, I can't deny that. But apparently Musk a few weeks ago did tweet out that that should be available sometime soon.
Right.
Whatever that means. So for RV, and
he
specifically said RVers.
So. Well, no, we've had stories on RV living or whatever the hell they got about this, you know, on Freedom's Phoenix. So
he doesn't read Freedom's Phoenix that much.
So then
I refresh it all the time for the silver price, the Bitcoin Cash price.
So we have this information has been up there about, everybody's all excited about it, but they have, because it's, better than nothing beta, thing that they're in now, it's kind of a sign for an area. So you might be able to go down the street or something like that, but once you take it traveling, you're like, no, you're not allowed until you are.
Complete the derailment of this episode. I did try to set up in Franconia Notch, which is... which is a little further south of here, and it said there's too many people in that area, so I got a different message. So it's not just that they haven't turned areas on to set the service address to, but also that there's regions they have 50 people in a town, they're not going to issue anymore.
Right. Well, see, it's because they don't have that many satellites.
Yeah.
So what they're doing is sometimes you got little breaks in it. That's why it'll drop off for 30 seconds or something. But it's like moving cell towers. If you're going down the highway, you'll have a cell tower and then you get, switched to the next cell tower.
Yeah.
Well, Starlink is kind of like orbiting cell towers. I mean, they're going by, then the next one and the next one. And if you're in an area and how much coverage it can do, and you only got like one satellite not overlapping, the signal, it can only take so much bandwidth. That's what's going on. That's why they're doing it this way. When they get enough coverage and they put up, it's another year or more, they get Starship done and they're dumping, five times worth of Falcon 9 launches worth of satellites, then all of a sudden it fills in, then you get your RV. So I know that, that's what was coming. That's why I kept asking. I go, does it work at Beezy, at your warehouse, and then your house, and how is it going?
It's only 4 miles.
So yeah, once, see, that's why.
And once it's up, is that when they release the T-1000s? Or?
Right.
Exactly. iRobot, their chest goes red, and they all, we're leaving you inside for your safety.
A couple months before that, we'll have to buy all new hardware for the RVers, because they'll say, you can't use this stuff, you'll have to get the RV, the RV version of the disc.
Well, they got another issue they got to deal with. They got to do some cooling, because when it hits 100 and 122, they shut off. So everybody in Arizona's got sprinklers on them.
Yeah.
To get them to work.
And there could be a point where that won't even help in Arizona, right?
Right.
Well, I guess it's dry enough, so.
Yeah, I know that works, Okay. So the answer to the question, if you're doing a new blockchain for a new crypto, you can, have IPFS and a main pen server somewhere or something that could be, and then it would be able to replicate. And I mean, is that a possibility?
Yeah, you can. You could use the IPFS network to replicate your data, which could provide some privacy features. Where you're not connecting the nodes directly; they're connecting through IPFS, which might be moving other data. So it might provide some privacy stuff. So right now, all the Bitcoin nodes know where the other Bitcoin nodes are. They know what they're all publicly listed. If you were using, of course, you could have onion nodes. You could have nodes on the Tor networks. You don't really know where they are. It could provide some privacy features, but it's really it's very similar. You have a network of nodes that they can give you information when you give them a hash. In the case of Bitcoin, they give you a block or a transaction.
Okay, we were talking, and I went ahead and got GoDaddy. I went and got a domain just from us talking, okay?
You've got a lot of domains.
Right? I know, I know, I know.
It doesn't surprise me that you buy a domain.
They're only a buck. I mean, you know, whatever. I get this obscure.
They're a buck for the first year. I've seen that.
Yeah, well, a lot of them I let expire, too, yeah. If you know, they don't kick. But the you were talking about where Linux was, you know, free software. And then I go, it wasn't free when I went to the store and bought it, you know. But so they mean freedom. So free and free. So IPFS for this kind of stuff is free squared. So we go FreeSqd, freesquared.com. And, we, you know, some kind of iterations of that. So the service that we were talking about, because I have doing a show, hopefully this week, I got in contact with Matt Raymer, you know, from Content Safe, yep. Which is kind of, he was of this mindset, and he wanted to be a service that would provide you load up to him, and then he loads all the platforms for you and retains, you know, a main copy of data. And he was interested in Pirate Box and IPFS for having the storage of that and making it, you know, do his business plan. So I'm like, cool, you know, anybody that wants to do the work, I'll pay you, you know, to, you know, platform on all this stuff, but you're pulling from my IPFS thing because I'm not watching spinning clocks all the time. I'm sick of doing that.
You've got to upload it once, and preferably you'd upload it to not a particular person. You'd upload it to some decentralized network like IPFS.
Which is my own freaking server sitting right there. I do it and done.
Yeah.
You know, and then he can take it from that and do whatever, which is what we're working with Float on.
Can load it for, load it to YouTube from IPFS.
Right.
But you only load it once, then Float's got it, then Content Safe has it.
Done. Yeah. I'm all over it. So when I talk to Matt, you know, if he's going, which I think he was kind of going down this road, and he's working on Pirate Box project, and I know what he's doing, you know. He's been working with Autonomy, helping with their stuff with Richard Grove, and he's going to be here. And I kind of, you know, pay attention enough to see what's going on. I don't want to discourage anybody. I was like, you go, girl, until you get to what I want, and I want some. You know, can I do that? And if I talk to Matt, and I get Danny and Matt together about him offering this service that using IPFS, then, you know, it's not like you guys set up any. They already got it set up. They offer this service for what you're doing. And any and all services, it's Internet 3.0 kiss my ass, and we have pulled ourselves away from using Amazon Google Cloud all the time. You know, screw them. Well, you can run an IPFS on the Google Cloud. Don't care. Don't care, don't care, don't care. Don't want to. You know, they can bite it. So, you're saying that that is possible?
Oh, yeah, it's possible. Yeah, there's a distribution. I mean, the nodes are really, they verify, the nodes verify the blocks too, of course, but the part of distribution, the communication between the nodes could go over IPFS for sure.
All right.
To some extent. I mean, I'd have to, you know.
Well, Saeed's all over this. I tell you, the big thing about Saeed, he's one of the developer guys, a young guy in Baltimore, I think. And, he's really emphasizing community. He wants to have people to work with. That's his big thing. He wants to have a, you know, kind of be part of. And he's way down the road on a lot of stuff. There's not a lot of people that keep up with him. So the people he wants to work with aren't really able to work with him because they're not able to do it. So I think we bring some attention to this, and Monero might be something that'll, yeah. So yeah. I want to help, because what he's doing when he launches, you get paid with the Monero memes that you make. You know, that's part of their kind of dashy reward thing. So I'm just like, man, I commissioned me a bunch of memes. I don't get paid.
It's neat. I'll let you guys get back to the crypto show.
Yeah, we're almost done.
Well, it's his show. It's the Ernie show.
Yeah, the crypto show on Declare Your Independence show.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a lot of interest. See, this is why I come to these events, is for these conversations. And you got, you know, people, and they go, well, what's that going to, oh, next year? And these young guys are going, oh, that's so 5 months from now. And I'm going, are you kidding me? I blink, it's 5 months later, you know? I'm old, man. I mean, I'll go 5 years, you know? Give me something. And you guys are pretty much done with this. You're ready to launch, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, as soon as Komodo gives us the go-ahead on, you know, what it's going to take to get it done, then, yeah, we're ready to go. The memeing part will have to be handled manually until I can get some kind of automated service or get feedback from the community to give me some ideas on how to do it, because I would like to do that, is have people who are even interested in it be part of the, you know, thought process on how this is going to work.
You know, fortunately in the liberty community, the voluntarist, anarchist, whatever, they like development on this kind of stuff. It evolves, and people contribute ideas, and they get incorporated, and other people come in. And if the answer is always yes, you know, then they do.
Yeah.
And I just think as it starts, and fortunately, you know, you've interviewed like any and everybody in the crypto space anyway. You know who the good guys are.
Yeah.
And and then of course, you know, guys like Derek can look at it and go, ah, they're a lion sack of snot, and this code line dash, you know, line 100,204 says this, and it should say that. I mean, you know, you benefit from that. But so we're not going to get snookered that much. And we're the ones that, you know, we take our time. Yeah. We're a little bit old. How old are you?
56.
Okay, so you're not a kid.
No.
I mean, you know, and we've been around long enough. We know guys. And then a lot of these new guys coming in, like your Bitcoin conference there, there's some, you know, were there a lot of young, new developer guys there?
Yeah, I met some pretty cool young guys at the Bitcoin conference. There were some coders and stuff that I met out by the dumpster where the...
they were smoking? The
Venezuelan Boulevards. Or like they filled a dumpster full of Boulevards. They were 50 Boulevard notes, and they were just blowing all over the place. So there was just...
Wow. There's
Venezuelan money just blowing around everywhere. I'm out there picking up these things, and I met a couple of these young guys who were developers. They're running some kind of a minority development. So it was like Indian guys, blacks, whatever, you know, whatever. They're just trying to have minorities in their group. Like, I don't really give a shit what color anyone is. Just make it work.
Yeah, see, that's... Yeah. See, that's why they were there.
Yeah.
You know, what was... You know, they're being, you know, identity politicking, you know, whatever the hell. I that's transitory.
Yeah, I didn't care, but there were a lot of interesting people. I actually did meet more interesting people at the shitcoin conference than I did at the Bitcoin conference. So because it was a smaller venue, so it was more intimate.
How many people were there
at the shitcoin one?
Yeah,
just probably 300 or 400.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Well, you know, that's where I need to print up a bunch more of our Letters of Captain Mark pirate books, because that's what I did them for. Is I go that you go to the Bitcoin conference, you got all these young guys that are just been snookered by the man and gave them, you know, hookers and BMWs, and they'll code whatever the hell you want, you know. And I'm going, man, leave us freaking out. I mean, you know, give us an off ramp or something. Yeah. I don't need another, you know, link in the blockchain to the crown. I mean, you know, give me some freedom. And you give them that book with the letters, it kind of gets their mind right. And I've gotten a lot of feedback over time, you know, from that very thing. They're going, yeah, I can see what they want me to do. And so then we need another ration of that. So that might be something that we can do with Monero, is, you know, have it promoted with our outreach of like these flyers and stuff we just got. Yeah. We got all kinds of crap that we do. So, yeah, I'm really excited about the future. It's just that I see any successful resistance to collectivized permission slip power as being off-ramped into serving the man. And Bitcoin and the crypto and blockchain, all that is definitely doing that. And I don't mind, fine, do whatever the hell you want, as long as I'm still free to do what I want.
Right.
And they go, nah, you're not allowed, you know? That's the problem.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to create the infrastructure to where it doesn't matter. And we'll work with you on that. This is awesome, man. I'm glad we got to catch up. Is there anything else that where are you going to go? What are you going to be doing?
I guess I'm going next to some RV thing over in Wyoming. I think it's the FMCA... I don't know, some kind of crown. My girlfriend's got me signed up for it, so I'm going
to
go.
Which is to do what?
It's just an RV. Yeah, it's an RV living conference, and you know, they teach people how to drive. She's going to go there to learn how to drive a bigger rig because she wants to get you know, a Super C, you know, kind of the NASCAR type rig. That's her. That's her dream. Yeah, she has a Class C now, and she wants to get the Super C, which is, you know, like the big NASCAR rig that looks like a Freightliner in the
front. Why? Just to live in?
Yeah, she's just like me, full-time RV. We don't live
anywhere.
You
don't do it, might as well just do it.
Yeah, we don't live anywhere.
See, that's
anywhere.
One thing with us. We don't have...
Like my driver's license expired in Texas. You want... I could show you my driver's. I have a Mexican driver's license now.
Yeah.
I got pulled over in Texas by the state troopers, and I just gave him my Mexican license and said, I live in Mexico. Let me go. You didn't know what to do with it. So I'm not even going to register to get any more U.S. It's permanent. It never expires. I have a legitimate Mexican driver's license.
Does it work?
Yeah. I live part-time in Mexico, so... Man, screw it. What do I need a U.S. driver's license for?
I can learn aloha and some other Mexican words.
Yeah. Aloha Spanish. Yeah. I'm pretty sure.
Far as you know.
Yeah.
So the, yeah, I know a little bit of Spanish, so yeah. I could probably get by. But the, aloha, of course not. Well, the RV thing is a, for me and Donna, we're always... on our way to somewhere.
Yeah.
And this is like, we're here 2 weeks. It's like, oh my God, I get to, like, you know, I don't have to, like, drive the next morning, right. You know, or been there 2 days for a thing.
That's why I wanted to show. Like, I drove here from Key West and made, like, one stop in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, see grandkids and stuff. And so it was just nonstop. I barely got any sleep from there to here. So now I'm going to sleep for a couple of days and get, you know, I've already taken a couple of days.
Well,
so
Donna,
I've been here for 3 days. So.
Donna learned how to drive by me putting her in the seat and going and sleeping and letting her drive. Yeah. But the, I didn't put her on the highway and just, you know, let her, you know, cruise at, you know, 60 miles an hour or something. But she likes it. She's been driving a lot more now. I was driving all the time, especially until we, you know, changed out to upgrade the steering box and I wouldn't even let her drive. I mean, it was just wandering all over the place. So we did that and it's driving pretty good. And we don't have pop-outs on this, but we've got it set up to where it's pretty comfortable, and we have, because of the bus, we have so much storage underneath, is what we really needed.
I think you're probably better off without the slides. Slides can be an issue sometimes. Yeah.
Yours kept breaking.
The smaller, mine kept breaking, and I got tired of taking it back to the shitty company that I'd gotten it from. I don't even want to mention them. So I literally learned how to rebuild the slide mechanisms myself. I started watching YouTube videos until I figured out how they went together, and I just started pulling them out and rebuilding them myself.
Well, what was the failure point all the time?
The gears would grind because
Kingsley at Float Fest.
Exact. And I know. I seen he posted on Facebook. I'm like, I bet you have a Schwintech system. Said, yep. And that's exactly what it was. When they put these Schwintech systems on the full side slides, they're built for a bedroom slide or a closet slide, something really small. They work okay with that. Even then, you can get calibration.
You put some binding or weight on it, and the gears.
You put
binding
weight on it, and it just it breaks the gears and grinds it up. And you just have to replace that stuff.
Well, by now, you'd think they figured that out.
They don't care. Get it out the door. If it opens long enough for them to sell the rig, they don't give a shit.
Well, this has been, you know, it's a 1980 MCI bus, and it's a tank, you know. So, I mean, it's, you know, like we just came from a place, Rantoul, Kansas, south of Kansas City, that he refurbs. He used to build them in the 80s. He's like 78 now, and used to, you know, customize them. And so he still has all his stuff, all his woodworking stuff. He still has everything. And big, giant wear. I mean, it's just enormous. And he buys these burnt out or wrecked or whatever and parts them. And so I went there because I knew that he had all these parts. Because when we were working on it before, he was the only guy that ever had anything. So I said, we're going to come by and have you do some work on it. So we got, like, little trim stuff and this little rubber piece of the whatever. And I showed Derek a lot of things I learned on how the mechanisms work on the door, and I got him a little hydraulic thing for a little thing he wanted of a thing. And it's been really interesting to be in this old bus and compare it with the durability of all these other RVs. And if you are driving it as much as we are, and these other RVs, I don't see how you can freaking afford it. You might as well just buy a house, you know. And so I'm kind of happy with that, but it's still a lot of older stuff that we're upgrading on. And of course, we had like engine replacements and stuff. But the so hopefully we're good for a long time now. And the biggest upgrades, I may do some increased battery storage because we run so much electricity through this thing, and I really need to have more battery storage. And but we got the generator and the solar and everything. But I still, plus I want to learn how to, you know, make those.
Right.
Lithium iron phosphate batteries myself. I got Battleborns in there, four of them. But you know, I want to be able to do it myself because I'm going to want to do this for my home. You know, we already got you know, a bunch of copper wire and solar panels and everything waiting when we get back to Arizona. Homie ain't going to be without power. I mean, you know, I got that taken care of. And this has been a really good experience. I like it, but I am very concerned about getting a piece of land. And it being mine, and I get to do what I want out in the middle of the desert, and there's going to be somebody with a clipboard and a shiny badge want to explain it to me. And I hate that idea. And so we're going to be...
Didn't that happen to Kokesh where the...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
No, it's the same kind of crap.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, nah, I want to get that fixed, and there's a push in Arizona, maybe some legislation we can whatever. But what I really point out... is that on an international level...
Mojave County is pretty cool.
I got to be in Maricopa because I got 12 grandkids and I want to stay married. I mean, that's just how that's going to work. So Cochise and Mojave, there are places that they don't care. But, and I'm afraid that if I do an equal protection clause violation of how come they got special privileges and rights that I don't got, and everybody's a slave. I mean, you know, that kind of thing. So I want to work on that. Because it will expose a lot of the crap that they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
All this sustainable, we rule you stuff is done at the county level through this kind of legislation, which was really amped up, you know, for decades. But we saw it really, you know, being orchestrated after Kyoto and Rio, you know, environmental sustainable development mid-90s stuff. You know, you could see it happening. And I've done shows on it and people talking to me and telling me how they lost their home, how they lost their ability to do whatever, how they, you know, got them into bankruptcy because of and you're not allowed. So I'm going, all right. So we may go and I'm going to be a butthead about it. And because I do want to have a home and be able to build and do what I want, but I'm really enjoying the freedom that we have now. You know, when you've been on the road for years.
Four years.
Well, what do you think?
I don't miss having a home at all. Not even a little bit. I mean, I don't miss renting from the government. It's property taxes. You know, they own it. I'm just renting it. And I get to do whatever I want to.
I don't know. You may be insulated more than most. With you got your Mexican driver's license, but they always want to pull you over to secondary and explain it to you.
Yeah.
You know, golly, did you go through New York? There is a toll camera every freaking mile.
Oh, yeah.
What is that about?
I don't know. And there's no way to getting around it, is there?
They're going to send you a bill. You know, the thing is that
I'm going to send them a picture that says the middle finger.
Well, we have the pulling the Jeep. It has Arizona plates.
Yeah.
You know, from I think it's our daughter's home or something.
Do you think it's the back license plate? Because I had my bicycles were blocking the plate on my trailer, so hopefully they.
Well, that may, you know, that may be a thing. You know, we have the plates on the bus is Montana. We did an LLC and a trust, all that kind of stuff, Montana. So you don't have to, you just pay one time. And you don't have to mess with it anymore. I don't have to worry about it. And so we did that, but I'm wondering. I think they're getting it off I'm sure they're getting it off the Jeep because they're sending it to that address. Yeah. So I'm thinking. Yeah, if it's a Montana, I mean, I wonder what they would do because they threaten death and damnation in New York. You'll lose your registration and we'll shoot you and put your name on the chalkboard or something if you don't pay their thing. You know?
I just ignored them. I can't. I went through those tolls 2 years ago when I came up here. They just don't respond. Like I don't have an address, so. My last known address, I moved it to a P.O. box and just let the P.O. box expire. So, good luck sending me a letter.
I'm getting close, man. You know, I would like to have a place that I can just wake up, piddle, and build because it's time and pressure.
Yeah.
You know, it'll take you 3 years. I go, no, I'm thinking probably five. I'm going to take my time. I'm going to have what I want, though.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what I want to do. So that's, you know, if I can't do that, I'm really losing interest. And, of course, Donna wants to have a home. And so I'm like, eh, okay, well, then we'll get the whatever Donna place of, it's not mine. I mean, it's like her little rat dog. I mean, it ain't my dog, it's your dog. You know, it ain't my house, it's your house. Because are you happy? Okay, well, I'll use a different address or something. So this is where the mindset, I think, of a lot of people is going to be here this week. And, the crowd, they're starting to come in, it's starting to fill up. And they sold out this year.
I just avoid any government interaction that I can possibly have. I avoid it at all costs, and I just try to live completely outside of the system.
I definitely advocate for that, and a lot of people keep asking me about it, and then you start getting de-Googled phones. You start to do the IPFS thing. You start to, but you're still integrated into something.
And then I'm not going to publicly talk about what you do with the taxes or anything like that. And that's moronic to go public and say, oh, don't do this, don't do that.
Well, my thing is, if you're not, I go, you want me to file? Fine. I didn't make anything and I lost money. Now give me my freaking universal basic whatever the hell, And then they send me the checks and we just endorse it and send it to the IRS. So I never even take, I don't want to put it through my bank account. That's like accepting something. I ain't doing that, And then now I don't get them anymore. Everybody else, I'm like, all right, whatever.
Yeah.
But this has been a an experiment in just how much you need the grid.
Yeah.
And us doing that, I really don't. And if you're a little bit more, study and so on, you can get to where you're off. But they don't want you to be. They're like, you got, you're condemned in child protective services if you didn't vaccinate them enough. It's going to be weird. And so I'm glad that you're out there. Glad you're doing this, and Manuro is fucking awesome, And I'm just, so this is the energy and the charge I get from coming to these events and doing this stuff is how can we? It's an attitude. It's a general public opinion that you even want to do this. That's where I think I get a lot of charge is that there's people even thinking this way, and that's what they're trying to eliminate. You're not allowed to, and then when you do think that way, you get punished, and your social credit score goes down, and you get off of Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. And they do. I'm going, yeah, but what if we got our own, and now we don't care? And screw you. You're still my grandma's on woo woo. I mean, why are you even on that? So, give out some web pages. People know how to get a hold of you.
TheCryptoShow.com, and you can find us on Twitter at TheCryptoShow. The travel channel that I'm doing which is just traveling all through Mexico and kind of telling people, hey, you don't need a mask. Go have fun. Get off your damn couch and climb a volcano, jump in and swim in a waterfall. Just have fun and stop listening to the man. That's NRV, like ANRV, Adventure. You should find it on Facebook and YouTube. Apparently, it's kind of hard to find that link. I don't have whatever the YouTube channel is, not apps. NRV Adventure is some.
Well, where would they go to find it? I mean, where
On the Facebook. You can just go to the Facebook and
which is Facebook.com. What?
Yeah, NRV Adventure.
ANRV Adventure.
It kind of sounds like anarchy, but it's NRV.
NRV.
Yeah, so it's
Adventure.
I didn't want to scare off the normies.
NRV. That does it have black and yellow?
Yeah, kind
of. Of course it does.
It's somewhere in there.
Well, you had Motorhome Diaries kind of kick this off in the, what was their other one? It was Motorhome Diaries and
Course, Manuro, and the other one is Manuro.io. Manure, the word like horse shit with an O on the end, and then .io.
Manuro.io. And we just found out that, I think it was you who was telling us that, Amanda and Pete Iyer are coming.
Yeah.
And Pete and Adamo were the ones that did the RV, cross-country stuff and everything. They were kind of launched that, as part of their, it was Ron Paul Grandma's or something back in the Revolution days. So this is, we're not the first ones to do this, no. But it's really becoming popular.
I mean, I did, it started kind of filming it at the beginning of COVID, and I, for that, I've never been more free in my life. Thank you for getting all the idiots off the road. I had open highways and cheap gas, and I took advantage of it. I went
all over
the place.
As little as like $1.50 a gallon for diesel last like March through May, around in there in 2020. And it was on the road, was like a surreal science fiction B movie, man. It was only our bus. Maybe you saw a couple of cars every now and then, and 18-wheelers. That was it.
One of the weirdest things that happened to me is, you know, I was traveling back to Arizona from Texas, and I decided I would just take a spin through Big Bend National Park and, you know, enjoy the sights.
Where's Big Bend?
In Texas. Okay. It's on the bend of the...
Big Bend.
Okay. And there's a town there called Terlingua. And so I go there, I get there a little after dark, and I can't find a hotel or a campground. There's nowhere to stay. So I slept on a gravestone in the cemetery. There's like a monument. I threw my sleeping bag out on the monument because I knew if I'm parked in a cemetery, no one will mess with me. And so so I had a nice rest on a gravestone. And then continued my trip in the morning on to Arizona. So.
Very cool. I'm not afraid.
It was pretty peaceful.
Yeah, of course it was.
Yeah.
You know, this is a different life, and what we find valuable is just the leave me alone aspect of the thing. And I hate thinking that I own something that's mine. And then a guy with a clipboard and a shiny badge comes up and is telling me what. It just drives me freaking nuts.
I mean, it was great for me because if I was in a place that was too constricting, then I would just go somewhere else.
Right.
You know?
Well, it's kind of like seasteading. They're going to do the ocean thing. And I go, they kept, you know, at first they're doing all big platforms or big floating cities. And I'm going, that's just another freaking collective. I don't have any interest in that. And I go, so then they started going to like these honeycomb cell platforms. You get your own little acre or whatever, and you plug in and you're there and what's up. And if you don't like your neighborhood, you undock and go around and go somewhere else or start your own. I go, that's how it's going to be. It's decentralizing. It has to be self-contained. Now you can interface with people and you can, you know, dock your freaking module to their space station for a little while, and then you just, and I'm done, and you take Serenity and you leave. I mean, you know, that's what's going to happen.
I told you about the homeless shelter in Vegas, right?
The squares?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, tell the audience that.
Okay. So I was living in Lake Havasu, basically. We were camped there at the Crazy Horse Campground, and I'm doing work in Lake Havasu, building patio covers. So I'm going back and forth to Vegas to get materials. Well, I'm watching this.
Well, Danny does roofing and stuff, and he would like take crypto and, you know, doing the remodeling and construction. Right. So you always got a job,
right? Know? So on my way to Vegas, I see this video of they've painted big squares that keep everybody socially distanced, and so the homeless were sleeping in little white boxes painted on you know in some parking lot. So I'm like, yeah, that doesn't look right. So I go there. This doesn't exist. It's like they.
So where did you see it in the newspaper?
Yeah. So they brought
just
homeless
propaganda.
People.
And
they brought homeless people over, painted boxes, and took a photo up, and then kicked them all out. Because I went to the actual homeless shelter around the corner. I signed up to be homeless, and I went inside and did live videos with the homeless people, saying, "This is what's really going on." And so local people were, you know, I just did it live on Facebook Live.
You're sending us that link, right?
Yeah.
you need to do it before so we can get it in this archive. Everybody needs to go see that. Yeah. That's awesome.
So, that's what I just interviewed them, and the homeless people were telling me, oh, no, man, that's not what happened. You know, they said there were showers, too, but they didn't let us take them. Like, they put mobile showers out there telling people on TV, oh, and we're going
to
give them
showers.
To what
purpose? Who would even...
To make it just to prove that...
Who? The county? The city?
Yeah.
The government?
The city or where was doing this.
They're justifying some grant they got or something?
I guess that we're helping the homeless stay socially distanced. And it's, no one you, wore
you
a mask.
You see my point?
There was no mask. There you see was my, no distancing.
The narrative. It's yeah. a narrative. It's just BS narrative.
When I was standing in line to be homeless, there was no distancing. We were right on top of each other.
We were
sleeping in the beds. You know, the guys on the bed on each side of me, there were 6 inches between each mattress laying out there in the parking lot. They were comfortable. But
outside?
Yeah, outside. And I stayed there long enough to do the live videos and talk to people, and then I left because I didn't want to be taking a bed from somebody. So then I went out on the street and actually slept on the street with the rest of the homeless people and just kind of, you know, seeing
what it was like.
Well, how
many people are we talking about here?
There were hundreds. There were hundreds of them.
Wow. What time of year was this?
March. Yeah. Or March or April. I think it was April.
Okay, yeah. So it's evening temperature to yeah. stand is kind of
yeah, it was
comfortable probably.
Yeah, well, it needed a sleeping bag to cover up. It was kind of cool. It definitely wasn't hot yet.
Mm.
But yeah, so that was just a huge lie, and I wanted
everything's
to expose
a lie.
It. Yeah.
You know, I want to embrace truth. You know, just how you need who's saying I can't. Who's stopping me? Who's in the way? What's going on? And I finally kind of got a beat on it. It's intentional. It was to eliminate competition by supporting collectivism around the world. These guys would pay for, you know, Lenin, Stalin, Hitler, Mao, whatever, to keep them, their people from being free market, mm-hmm. right support and competition to they, them, those. And now it's our turn. You know, they did it everywhere else, and America's been a pain in their ass. They got the infrastructure ready, and now they're shutting it down. Mom, pop, private ownership, business, you know, leave you aloneism on your property, you know, taking land and putting it in the hands of the people. And
printing money.
Print money. I mean, you know, yeah, print money and buy
that's
gold
the,
with it. I mean, you know, just buying assets, housing going into BlackRock, and we control everything, and everybody's a renter, and you're not going to own anything. I like it. I mean, you know, it's so obvious what's coming, and it just recently I'm kind of like getting a beat on it. Yeah. So it has to be a general public opinion thing, but you have to show that you can do it without the central command or a central plan for freedom. And that's where IPFS comes in, you know, Maduro, all this just, you know, leave me aloneism, mm-hmm. I got an RV, you know, this is, and yeah. that makes us the target because we're not with their narrative. I mean, you're not bothering anybody. Hell, you're not even saying that they can't do it. But you're representing escapees, man. You're not allowed to inspire people to leave me aloneism. That is their threat. That's why they needed to have all these other countries and peoples around the planet not thinking that way. They don't want a Declaration of Independence mindset. You need to be for the collective or you're going to die. Yeah. You know, wear your mask, you know. Yeah. All right. Well, this is great getting caught up, Danny. I really look forward to doing this and talking with you. And we got a lot of good insight and things that's going on. And I appreciate you coming on. We're going to be doing this all week with a lot of the guys, you know, like Danny, he set us off. And stay tuned to the show and you'll be getting all the inside goodie of what the world's going to be like tomorrow and years from now. Peace.